Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I'm your host of Straight Talk, and we are the talk show that is made for men by men, not even ladies. Would ever want to miss our show? And tonight will be no different. I will be what you may call politically incorrect tonight. Perhaps even the men will not be happy with the things that I have to say. So gather around and listen for something that your eardrums may not want to hear. Like the video, share it. And once again, good evening. Thanks for joining. I'm Ted Santos, and this is Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men by men.
Good evening. Thanks for joining.
Oh, man, I've got this other computer running. And no one will want to miss this show. Not at all. Not in the slightest. Got a little hair growing there. This one is going to be perhaps even politically incorrect for some of the guys. And for some of the guys who fit this, I'd love you to come in and join the discussion and make your case. The case for the player who's got game. Do men really need game to get the girl? I hear that you do. Is that really the case? Got to move this mirror. So, yeah, country boy, we do need this. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to open up why so many men follow game. We're going to open up a can of worms and undress an ugly conversation that some men may not want to hear because they've been very proud about their ability to have game. I got game. Game. Makes for a good TV show, huh? Got game. But what do you really want to accomplish in this lifetime? And is game going to bring that to the table? And whose idea was it anyway to have game? Took a little longer in the gym. Still gobbling some food. What's going on, PJ? Good to see you in here. Games are for girls and power is for men. Game is for guys who need it. Simps, maybe even drones. So we're going to open this up. We're going to talk about game in a way that I bet no one's addressing, especially not these dating coaches. And there'll be some yeah buts and how abouts and what if. So guys, as you come in, I always keep them in this. I'll wait until after the show to gobble down pumpkin seeds. That was technically my lunch. I spent a little more time in the gym than I wanted. So, yes, my pumpkin seeds are still part of my diet, my daily diet, 7 days a week. I don't eat a lot, just enough. Just enough to keep that, you know. And that's not a game. Yeah, Yeah, exactly, country boy. Right. People want to play games. You know, when I was, I didn't even really care about games. You know, my played board games with my parents. I'm a firstborn, so I played board games with my parents. But I remember being about 5 years old and pin the tail on a donkey. I thought it was such a stupid game. They put the blindfold on. Of course, I could see clearly. And I put the tail on the donkey's neck because I thought it was that ridiculous. People laughed. Kids laughed. But I just thought it was a ridiculous game at 5 years old. Yeah, PJ, that's definitely a big part of it. So, hemp seed, really. So pumpkin seeds are really good for your prostate. They provide the iodine. They provide the nutrients that your prostates need. So tell me what hemp seed is for. So guys, come into this video, smash that thumbs up. You'll see that like button. Smash it, smash it. And if you haven't subscribed to my channel, smash that bell, smash the subscribe and the bell so that you'll get notifications for my videos as they come up, and you can be here from the beginning to end and hear the whole conversation. Or as I drop videos as I've been doing, you may have seen the videos I'm doing about reasons you can't find love. And those are all videos to follow up on a book that I recently published May 18th. It was just launched last month. And it's a really good book, so I hear. If you don't have your copy, you'll definitely want to get one. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the online digitals. I hear it's in the bookstores also. If you wanted an autographed copy, you can hit me up in an email or find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and let me know you want an autographed copy, and I'll make that happen for you. Yeah, virility, that's the prostate, country boy. Yep, and there are some direct women out there who are defying what they've been told to do. So, I'm going to add, I always love your support. So I am, Straight Talk is, I created Straight Talk to be a show that is a place for men to be able to express themselves as men without being shamed for masculinity, without being told that they should get in touch with their feminine side. Straight Talk is not only a show I do every Sunday at 7, but I also have a Facebook group. If you're not in it, you can make a request and I'll get you in there. But the name came because I think it's in a man's nature to be straight. What's going on, Dre? Good to see you here on Instagram. I created Straight Talk because the way I see men have a great capacity to go straight for things, even if there's conflict, even if it's danger. I mean, you hear about men going in the burning fires, you know, so this is, and men need to be able to speak straight without being told that they are like defective girls and they don't act like girls. Men need to be able to talk as men. So I created this. What's going on, Lando? I created it for that. And many of the conversations could possibly be called provocative or politically incorrect. And I don't do that to try and stir up problems, but I wanted to have really straight conversations about things that are either discussed, but they're discussed in a politically correct way. So I want to open them up and really dig into them, or they're just completely avoided by our society. And today I'm going to take on this topic. You guys have seen the topic, do men really need game to get the girl? You know, and I had a few other ways of looking at this. Should guys avoid women who demand men have game? You know, I had a few thoughts about this. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call in. And I see there are quite a few people already called in. The phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. You can check me there. You can come in on YouTube, and I will drop a link for that if you'd like to join in there. I'm going to read some of my thoughts. I'm going to start taking calls, and then we're going to peel this down in layers, like peeling an onion, because I have a lot of thoughts about this and the origins of this whole idea of why men should have game. And from my perspective, I think it's a dangerous trap, and men have gotten themselves in it, and I think it's had repercussions even in our society that we can't see, that it's kind of behind it all. Right, but who's telling men they have to have game, PJ? I get that it's a polite word for manipulation, absolutely. But there are so many other facets to when you believe you have to have game and the kind of dysfunction it ushers into relationships. And people don't realize that what's kind of underneath that dysfunction is this idea of having game. So here are my thoughts. I wrote this up. Game. We are told men have to have game to get the girl. Really? Who made that rule? Even though men don't know who made the rule, they faithfully and proudly follow it. In fact, they attempt to shame men who do not follow the rule of having game. Is game a critical element of great relationships? If so, in what way does it build strong relationships? If not, why employ something that provides no value? In many cases, when you bring things that provide no value, zero value, you're left with disappointment and drama. And unfortunately, that is the fate of most relationships. So let's explore this idea of having game and why men should or should not continue to follow the rule. So before I give you more of my thoughts, I'm going to bring in three of you at once. Area code 870, 310, and 605. You're all live and on the air. 870, you go first. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's going on, T?
What's going on, man? Thank you for calling. Tell the people who you are and where you calling from.
Oh, this is your good old country boy from Arkansas, man. What's happening?
Hey, everything's good, man. Everything's good. Thanks for calling in. So we're talking about game. And Lando, I hear a girl told you that you don't have game. Exactly. Yeah, we're going to talk about that, right? Was that a move, a manipulation move? See, that's men don't really see what that's doing for men, for manhood. So what are your thoughts on this conversation? Do men really need game to get the girl, country boy?
Yeah, man, it's a real mess.
All right, why do you say that?
Because like I say, if you blunt and straightforward with a woman, I don't believe in playing all these games. I really don't. I believe that's a bunch of BS that some fool and came up with that, you know, to be, what you call it, one-upping each other. That's what I believe that foolishness is. I don't have time to play games, kid.
Okay.
So maybe you can shed some light on what all this game BS and all this swag BS talking about out here amongst these men out here. And when I say men, let me defituate, Ted. I'm talking about these simps and the traditional blue pill men. I ain't talking about the so-called conscious woke men, because we not doing this push.
All right. Good enough. 310. What are your thoughts on the topic? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Reginald, calling from Atlanta, Georgia, via Los Angeles. What's going on, Teddy?
What's going on, man? From the ATL. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of interesting because you might need what you want to game a girl that you a girl that you just want to play with but don't want to keep. Sometimes you're going, you know, man's going to change because there's no. I mean, what is it that you have to do when you have to keep the mystery? You know, the game entails quite a bit because whether you want to remain a mystery to this woman or whatever, because once she figures you out, she might no longer want to deal with you because now she's figured you out. So there's a lot that goes on with that, you know. But I think when you get a little bit older, you understand it.
Hey, Reg, I think you're breaking up, man.
He broke up.
But anyhow, Ted, let me go here real quick. But basically what I was saying, this game concept it almost sounds like you being manipulated as opposed to manipulating her.
All right, tell me why do you say that,
country boy? It almost, if you look at it from the masculinity standpoint, it almost like you got to play a game with a female in order to, you know, to come off as your genuine, authentic self. And that's just not me, Ted.
So do you consider game as lying?
In a way, now that just me now. In a way, I feel like the dude ain't being, you know, ain't being true to himself and his nature. Now, maybe you fellas can't correct me, but that's just my opinion on the matter.
Hey, Ted, can game be you just being direct? You being direct?
But why to play the game though? That's what I'm. You understand where I'm having a conflict at?
Kendrick, he's asking a question. So if you're just being direct, that game. If you're being direct, you're just being yourself, right? That's just you. There's no game
but
in that.
But that's what I'm saying, Ted. But when you got to try to put on this facade like you a player or you a Mac or something just to get you some of that along those lines, that to me, that's a bunch of BS because that probably got us in the midst of this situation in the first place.
Right.
Along those lines.
Reggie just asked a question. If you just being direct, is that game? That's what he just asked.
No, that's not game.
Okay. Because a person's game could be to say, well, man, how do you do it, man? What is it? He said, bro, hey, I'm just direct. I just tell him what I want and how it's going to be. That's how it is.
But,
so that could be
but
your
that's
game.
Not game. But that's not game.
I know, but I'm just using, okay. That's just who you are, but that's it. When they ask you, they say, man, what's the game you run? He said, I don't run no game. I just be direct. He said, well, my game is directness. I think you kind of understand what I'm saying there.
I've been using
the word game, but it's really not. It's just a way of saying
I know exactly what
that's
you're saying.
That's how I get that. Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
All right, this is Joe from Montana. When I was growing up, game didn't mean that. Game didn't mean that you had to be an authentic, had to be a phony. It meant that a guy had good conversation, was able to approach a girl, and naturally girls like to put on their facade of, I'm not really interested, even if the guy's good looking. But let's say the guy isn't all that good looking. I knew people who, just through the force of conversation, was able to make a girl interested in him because he was able to not wilt in front of her. He answered her questions. He made a connection with her. He didn't act as though he was, somebody who was going to disappear. So he acted like a guy who was very, very confident. It doesn't mean that he was a liar. Sometimes, I guess, a lot of guys can't lie in order to impress a girl. And you shouldn't do that. But when I was growing up, that's what it meant, just the art of conversation. It didn't mean that somebody had to put on a different face. It just meant that you didn't mind approaching the girl. You didn't mind having a conversation with her. If she wasn't interested, you got beyond that. And because of your skill at conversation, you got her interested in you, at least more times than not. And by the way, hello, Ted, Kendricks, and Rich.
What's up, Joe?
Good evening, Joe.
Montana Grizzly Bear.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that point out, Joe. That's exactly where I was coming from. You know, it ain't the dude, yep. You know, we burn out from being rejected. So you know what dude decided to do? Just bag away and just leave him alone, let the simps have him. That's how a lot of dudes looking at it now. Because this is a freak show out here.
Well, mm-hmm. To be honest, we all know that when a woman first sees you and meets you or you talk to her, she already knows, she's already sized you up with, you know how she wanted to
go. Yeah,
so.
but she ain't
sure
sizing up the intellect behind you. Yeah, she may look at you sexual-wise and be turned off at you, but she don't know what's going on upstairs, Reginald. You know what I'm saying? Because like that, you take what that dude named Jeremy Meeks, for example. Now, that dude was a convicted killer and ain't no telling what else, and then he turned out to be a model at the same time, and that's their idea of dude, you know what I'm saying, that they idolize.
Oh, I know
who
you're talking about.
So yeah, I'm looking at it like, it don't matter to me what's going on in that man's skull, as long as he look good and he's sexy appealing to that one. She automatically going to just jump up and just, you know what I'm saying? She doesn't do, she just going to gravitate to her. With or without.
As a matter
thing,
of fact, Kendricks, the guy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The model of the one that I think you're talking about, he wasn't a convicted killer. He was a convicted serial rapist who was on a dating app. And the girl.
No, that's Jeremy Meeks. You're talking about the guy, the gangbanger from Stockton, California.
Oh,
he's in a gang and stuff. That you talking about the guy who got arrested and his mugshot went viral and all the chicks went crazy. And actually, he got a modeling contract out there and had a kid with an heiress. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the guy he's talking about.
I think the one Kendrick's talking about, that guy has been in a few movies now.
No, the one he's talking about, the guy I'm talking about, he got a teardrop. So the teardrop is reflection that he killed somebody. That he got a body on him. That's a gang signature.
Reg, did you hear what I said?
What's that?
I said I think the guy that Kendrick is talking about has been in a few movies, like major movies now.
No, he's never been. No, he got a modeling contract. He hasn't been in any movies. Got a modeling contract.
I think that guy has been in movies now, Rich. There's a movie out now, and I just saw it.
You know what? He might have got a movie contract. I don't know, because
I wouldn't be surprised, Redden, if he do.
He's been in a few movies.
I'll Google him and see.
He wouldn't
what,
need.
I don't want to get off a topic, but hell, he came up. That just shows you how it works and stuff, though. They saw him. I mean, women from all races everywhere wanted to get with. I mean, it was his genetics. The heiress from a fortune who's not an attractive woman, who's worth, her, you know, family's worth billions, stuff wanted to breed with him.
No, I'm talking about the one Kendrick is talking about.
Yeah, we talking about
Jeremy
Meeks.
Oh, that's
Jeremy Meeks.
Talking about the same dude.
Yeah, it's the same dude. Yeah, that's the same dude, Ted.
Okay. All right. I don't know all that stuff, but all right, good enough.
Yeah, that's fine. It's cool. Yeah.
But right. Like Regina said, that go to show you, Ted, as long as you look good and you appeal to that woman, all that game stuff really don't matter. That's what I was saying.
Hey,
that
Ted,
was the point I was making.
Ted, he had a woman, okay, and other women knew he had a woman. They saw him They were talking about collecting bail to put money together to get him out of jail. I mean, all kinds of stuff, just off a mugshot. So that just tells you something right there.
Let's not get too far off topic.
But the guy's game was that his background was that he was a thug. He was good looking for girls. But I bet you if he wasn't a thug, they wouldn't have been that attracted to him.
No, you missed the point. If he probably didn't have that sexy masculine allure about himself, they probably wouldn't be wanting to fool with him.
Okay.
Now that's just me.
That's because he's a thug. He's the bad boy.
A jaw. Excuse my language. He's a jawline nigga. That's what we call him. Jawline. The aesthetics. Women went crazy all over the. Okay.
Reg, I understand what you and Kendrick and Ted are saying. Don't forget the person who received the most mail in jail. Okay, from women was Charles Manson. He got 5,000 letters a week when he was in jail, and he's a little fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus, O.J. Simpson, when he got jailed, okay, he got a lot of love letters too.
The juice still got the juice.
EJ's putting up some really interesting comments. Men have invented game and women have created its rules to cater to their needs. Women don't care about game when it comes to a guy they find attractive. Game was awesome, invented, and responsibility placed on men to hide women and their capabilities and to protect their ego. What's going on, Justin? Yeah,
that's not entirely true. Guys can be very, very good looking, but if they're nice, they're boring, and the girls would dump them after a couple of weeks.
Yep.
But just like the opposite said, and Joe, if he bad and he crazy in the head and he looking good, he'll receive just the opposite from them women.
So we're talking about
even if he's not looking good.
Right. So we're talking about, do men really need game to get the girl? Right. So is that a fact?
So what's your definition of game, Ted?
Whatever you call it.
Is it the same as mine?
Whatever you call it. I don't want to, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. If someone wants to come on, who considers themselves to have game, would love to hear your perspective. But here's from where I'm sitting, PJ's making a lot of sense, and Imperator, you had a comment that I wanted to also address. Imperator, he said he placed too much emphasis on female whims and fancies, right? Game is a socially acceptable way of saying that you submit to female rule. It's basically bending the knees to women in the matriarchy. I'll tell you why that makes sense, right? So if you listen to a lot of guys who say, like, they really got game, right? So I heard what you said, Joe, when you were saying that the guy who knew, he had the art of conversation, right? So he meets a woman and she plays hard to get because that's what she thinks she wants. You know, I saw an interesting, I think, meme or whatever you call it. It was a woman who said, this guy that I really liked, I thought he was handsome, he asked me to go out with him, and I said no. And he said, okay, and he walked away. And she said, man, I'm really pissed off because I really wanted to go out with him. But so she played a game and lost.
Right.
So, And this can happen so often. But so what she attempted to do is she attempted to get him to play her game, and he didn't, and he walked, and she lost. And she'll probably never fully comprehend what she lost out on, and what she'll end up doing is attracting the guy who will play the game. Now, look,
if you have game and you're just looking to bang a bunch of women, you know, line them up, I got it. That makes sense, right? You're just playing games. You're not taking them seriously, and you'll entertain them. But what it seems like is, it seems like women are the ones who made up the rules. Like, a lot of guys who will claim they have good game, they're really good at having game, if you listen to most of them, they were educated by a woman. I talked before about how your mother sets you up to get played by women. She doesn't really help you understand how to navigate dating and engaging women. But there are a lot of women. It could be your sister, your aunt, your mother, a woman who you consider to be a friend. And essentially, this is the way it looks to me. It looks like kind of like a black widow syndrome. So we all know when the male has sex with the black widow, she kills him every time. She chews his head off, she eats him, he's dead. So it's like women are teaching boys and men how to have game, and they're really training men how to engage women for the woman's benefit. So instead of them eating his head off and killing him, it's like they're chewing out part of his brain and replacing it. Like, he's being tamed, and the next woman does her taming, and he gets completely tamed. What in his mind, he feels like he's got full power and control. But if you notice, the guy who's having game, even the guy you talked about, Joe, he's got... He's entertaining the woman. So game is all about a woman's entertainment and making her feel good. And what a guy gets in return is like little to nothing. But guys haven't figured it out because they believe the reward is the carrot on the stick. So you can have game, you can spend your money to take women out and do all those things. And it doesn't guarantee you that you ever get the carrot. But yet guys keep playing the game that women have created. And they created the rules, and men go along with it without understanding that they're just playing a woman's game. And it's almost like making drones in our society, because now you've got men accustomed to following the rules of women. And as women say, well, we no longer want these rules. We want these new rules, even if they don't make sense. Like, I did a show on the WNBA. WNBA, these women want to be paid the same as men, and I went to a whole, you know, readout of why that's completely illogical economically, and it's not a business model. But men have become accustomed to following the instructions of women and believing that they are getting a thing. And that's really my concern.
Yeah, Ted, it's the narrative. And a lot of us are starting to go against the narrative if you start to notice it.
Right. TJ said if a woman finds you boring, and that's what I say. When a woman tells me she's boring, the first thing I say is, then you're probably a very boring person. Because if I sit in a room alone, I never get bored with myself. Hey, I'm Ted Santos, and I love being with Ted Santos. And I can be around anyone in the world, and I'm never going to get bored because I'm always there. So when a woman tells me she's boring, first thing I'm going to say is you're probably a boring person, and you need some person, some guy or people around you to distract you from the boringness that you are to yourself. And if you deal with it, you won't be bored anymore.
And then another thing, she probably accustomed to a certain caliber of dude that's entertaining the foolishness. That's probably the reason why she'll say she bored with you because you not going along, how can that word is? It's almost an agenda between the, ain't no somebody else on the line.
Hey, someone's got background noise. We hear that.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, that's me here. Let me put myself on mute. I'm in the parking lot. Hold on, Ted.
Go ahead, Kendrick.
Like I was saying, it's to the point where they almost want every man thirst after them, when in actuality it should be the other way around. You know what I'm saying, with this whole game thing. Like, if a lady boy with you, 9 times 10, she going to find somebody that she ain't bored with. You know what I mean?
Well, no, that's fine. And let her go. That's part of what I'm getting at here. And PJ is laying out, like, PJ's reading my mind, because I've been thinking about this. He said the game is the reason women haven't developed communication skills. And so if you have to be the entertainer, the clown, to entertain her, to make her feel good, she just sits there and watches like she's in the audience. And if when a man doesn't present game and he just presents himself, it forces the woman to have to step up and produce some kind of result to show that she has value. But as long as she has you on the defense of showing that you're interesting and you got game, she's hiding behind game. So, and that's why I say it, women created this so that they could not have to do anything. And the man has to do all the work. You have to entertain her. You have to finance the relationship. You have to protect her. You have to provide. You have to do all these things. And she's sitting back and saying, good boy, you're getting a pat on the head for entertaining her, and then paying to entertain her. Like, if you're an entertainer, you should be getting paid, but you're doing everything. And she's just
in other words, they want you to be like Boo Boo the Fool.
It's kind of a clown, right? It is a clown. But if you come to her as just yourself, if you're a very intelligent man, she has to produce a level of intelligence that will attract you. But as long as she makes you believe you don't, that you have to have game, she can just observe and judge you like you're a clown act, getting judged. Good job. I give you a 7 for that.
It's really sad when you think about it, Ted, because the claim of men ain't masculine, men is men, okay. But why make a man go through all them hoops, Ted, just instead of him just be himself, and she just need to come with some level of maturity and some willingness to go along with the program, Ted?
Well, see, she may not have enough to contribute. So here's another game of cat and mouse, and I actually addressed this in my book of cat and mouse, and how the game of cat and mouse creates dysfunctional relationships. Let me say this other thing. The other thing that I think about with game is I think about what works in a relationship. So when you're just on a day-to-day basis, how do you create a great relationship? Is it having game that creates great relationships? If it is, someone would have to help me understand that. If not, why would you be introducing something right up front that doesn't work, whether it's you lying? You know, because I've heard of guys making up business cards that they worked at IBM and they did not. They worked in a mailroom at a law firm. But a lot of women were impressed by that, so it helped them get pussy. It worked, right? And as I said, if that's all you're out for, I understand. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm just saying I understand. But if game is not what you are having in a day-to-day life with a woman, why are you presenting it? Because whatever it takes to get her is really what it takes to keep her. You're going to be on a perpetual treadmill, like the hamster wheel of being her entertainer while she sits back and watches you and has to contribute very little. So when it doesn't work and she's like, oh, I'm not feeling this anymore, the chemistry is not there. Basically, your entertainment stopped and you want it to just be yourself. And she'll say, well, he changed. You hear a lot of women say the guy changed. Well, to get you, he had to have game. So it's like women set up the playing field for them, for her to fail, because she's asking you to have game. And that goes in now to cat and mouse. So if you chase a woman, she feels good. She feels you want her. The guy gets off on that because he's chasing her. It's like an accomplishment. And so he finally catches her, and the whole, like, the dopamine for both of them stops. They're not getting a dopamine rush. Why? Because her dopamine was from being chased. His dopamine was from chasing her. So what do people do when they need their dopamine rush? They create drama, chaos, the relationship falls apart, and now he has to chase her again. And she gets happy, and she lets herself get caught all over again. And the cycle never ends. And they're in this perpetual dysfunction and can't see that it's this desire to play cat and mouse where they actually don't want to have a relationship. It's like people don't desire one another. They just desire the feeling of desire. And that's a perpetual dysfunctional relationship. And so either they'll constantly go through breakup and makeup, which means they constantly make up and then break up so they can do the chase again, or they just go find someone else and the chase starts all over again. So they'll perpetually do the cat and mouse. And when they finally meet someone they really want, their brain is now programmed only for cat and mouse and dysfunction, and they'll end up screwing that up. A good person, but they'll justify to you and say how, you know, it wasn't meant to be and all that other nonsense. So games are what's hurting relationships in
Thanks.
The past.
I was looking for that confirmation to you. Yes, sir.
And PJ said game is probably the biggest reason most men get nervous with women. They don't know where they're, if they're measuring up. I mean, it can't be a great feeling to not be yourself. And maybe women are more comfortable not being themselves. I don't know.
That makes sense, Ted. When they talk about all these good men, these quote-unquote nice men don't sound like they being authentic, is versus a dude who out there got, you know, three strikes to life, you know, with his name in and out of the pen, and he a repeat offender. Those women look at him like he a stable authentic as opposed to the dude who's genuinely nice and authentic.
Yeah.
They not accustomed to that type of dude.
That
you know what I'm saying?
That's a little bit tangential, but we'll deal with that in a second. I want to bring in two more callers, area code 404 and 415. 404, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Good evening, Ted. How are you today?
What's going on? Tell everyone your name and where you calling from.
Yeah, my name is Keith from Atlanta.
What's going on, Keith? Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I just want to tell you, your book is really great.
Thank you. You finished it?
Almost.
Almost.
Almost. But I can tell it's great already. But I'll be finishing it by tomorrow.
Okay, perfect.
But
perfect.
I want to, you know, I don't want to belabor the conversation too much, but I just think in a nutshell, you know, quote-unquote game is completely subjective from a woman's point of view and from a man's point of view.
Right.
Okay? Because... And I think it means different things to different people. Now, like the gentleman from Montana was saying earlier, I concur with that. It sounds like we're both kind of from the same era. And, you know, game just meant someone who can get women by being, in, you know, however his game was. People have different games. It's like, you know, let's take sports. I know you do a lot of sports analogies, right? You got... you know, certain people who have a certain style of game, you know what I mean? Like Dr. J, he was the first guy to really go to the air like crazy, right? And then Jordan came along, and then LeBron, you know. But you all have a different kind of game, right? But it's still basketball, so game is just how a guy gets it done, you know, connecting with women. Now, maybe some of them play games, but that's a different kind of thing, you know. That, to me, that's just... and, you know, idiosyncrasy of maybe that person or just something that person does. But game is just getting it done. You know, you could bring a metaphor to that in just a professional life, you know. Like, you know, you could say someone in the military a commander who gets battles won, he's got game, right? He's not playing around, but he's got game. He knows how to get it done. He knows how to motivate his troops, like a coach knows to motivate his team. And, you know, I know people that when we were younger, you know, they were very, very, you know, picky about the way they dressed. And, you know, like when, you know, I was a kid and Jordache jeans were like $40 a pop, which was a lot of money back then, you know, they'd wear that and they'd wear all the, you know, like, you know, and their hair had to be just so, and they spend an hour, you know, doing their hair with a blow dryer, you know, and I was never like that. But, you know, I got girls, they got girls, but there's different kind of girls that go for different kind of guys. You know what I mean? So I think game is subjective, and really it's just a way of accomplishing something.
Well, I see game as sort of analogous to corporate politics. Corporate politics allows you to get things done, like move up the corporate ladder. But here's what it also
does. Yeah, absolutely. But that's game in a corporate sense.
Hold on. Corporate politics actually creates dysfunction and unproductive behavior.
I agree. I was in the corporate world,
Keith, hold on. It actually doesn't accomplish anything, but it does make the person look good and move up the ladder, but it creates dysfunction.
Right. That's
it creates dysfunction and chaos for everyone around them. Except you can say, man, that person's got game. Look how he moved up the corporate ladder. They're winning, but everyone's not winning.
That may be true, but what I'm saying is when you can't, you know, if you're in a situation, you know, you can't just wave your magic wand and change the rules of the game that corporations have been playing for, you know, decades and decades, if not hundreds of years, right? I mean, you always had, you know, the kiss ass who got his way, who got up the ladder because he kissed the boss's ass or something like that, or married the boss's daughter or niece or whatever like that, you know? And women for, you know, thousands of years been marrying men of money and power. Now, that's a way of getting it up to the ladder to where they want to be. So, again, it all comes back to what is your definition of game? And you know, it's just a way that people accomplish different things. I'll give you a perfect example. I'm a personal injury attorney, okay? And the game I play to get success for my clients is that the insurance companies created. Because if you want that big fat check, that's what you have to do. You have to play the game the insurance companies made up that we have to follow, or else you're not going to get your client paid. So I don't like it, but I have to adhere to it because that's the only way that you're going to recover for your client. And it's the same way in the military, in the corporate sector, as you know, in politics. So, you know, there's many games we have to play, like in school, games that we played with our parents, right? So they would get off our backs. You know, maybe we did something that we didn't really want to do, but it kept them off our backs. And, you know, we could, like, you know, kind of get, you know, keep them from, you know, punishing us or whatever it was. So, you know, I think everybody plays games in life because it's just the way people are, or just, you know, I can't tell you why, but it is. So if you want to adapt in life, I mean, if you want to listen, even if you want to be a monk and go live out, you know, in Tibet in some monastery or some other kind of, you know, priesthood or whatever it is, you got to play their game, right? If you want to be in the order of, you know, the brothers of whatever, or, you know, some kind of religious order, you have to play their game, right? And deprive yourself of worldly things and bake your own bread and grow your own vegetables and stuff like that, you know? So there's games every time you join a group, like, you know, if you're playing football, right? I mean, you got to do what the coach says or you ain't playing. You won't be on the team, right? So you could be the greatest football player in the world, but you still got to play, quote unquote, the game, or else you won't get ahead.
Okay. 415, you're live on the air.
I think the word game is subjective, And I think it, you know, interjects into our lives on a daily basis. Like, even if you commute to work, right? Let's say you live in a place like the Atlanta metro area where I live, and you're driving to the city from the suburbs. You got to play the game of traffic, right? It's no fun in any other metro area where you have, you know, traffic, you know, like New Jersey, New York, L.A., Washington, Miami, you know, anywhere there's traffic. You got to play that game, right? Honking at people and cutting people off, or people do it to you, you know.
There are places where they don't honk the way they do. There are places where they don't do that. There are places where traffic doesn't work that way.
Right, because there's not that much traffic. But when you get a certain amount of traffic on a day-to-day basis, if you drive and you commute, you know, and your game may be just to be passive and, you know, let people do whatever they want, and you kind of have to, or else you get into a road race situation. But I'm just saying, the game of, you know, being in traffic for 90 minutes to 120 minutes, you know, each way and dealing with it. I mean, that's a game in of itself created by people, you know, going to work.
I got it. So in a second, we can just say everything's a game, right? So I got that.
It
but that's not, hold on.
Ted, I can step in real quick, I think.
Yeah, that's not this conversation. Go ahead, 415. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Alex calling in from San Francisco. It's been a while. I'm enjoying the conversation so far. I think Ted got it right when he was talking about if you approach a woman, a new woman, with game and you can't sustain that game, it sets up the relationship for a potential failure because obviously you have a facade that you can't maintain. So people got to be careful about how they present themselves. I heard a term today called impression management. Impression management is an interesting term for just, you know, obviously showing your best face when you're first getting to know somebody and managing your facade, I guess, over time. But I think there's a lot of good analogies between interviewing for jobs. You know, when you're looking for a job, it's sort of the same thing as looking for a girlfriend or a wife. You're basically doing an interview. And when you interview for jobs, you certainly play a game, right? You spin yourself to make yourself look in the best light for the employer. And you can certainly fudge facts. You can lie by omission. You can straight up lie. Just lie about yourself. And I think game is sort of a combination of putting yourself in the best light as well as kind of lying about yourself. You might make yourself seem like you're more happening than you really are, like you got more friends than you really are, or you're smarter than you really are, or better connected, or make more money. I mean, people have fake jobs all the time, and the ethical, the morality and the ethics of that is certainly up for debate. But I mean, game is really about putting your, you know, essentially, I think, sort of fudging reality to put, you know, for the purposes of impression management. So, you know, like I said, with interviews for jobs, you know, it's you know, interviewing for a job, there's so many, the parallels between job interviews and dating are just immensely, there's just, it's 100% analogous. So,
you're trying to get to accomplish something. So everything's a game. Like when you're trying to, you're trying to get this job, so you're pumping yourself up and maybe fudging stuff. So, you know, again, it's getting to an end goal, and that end goal is to get hired at that job and stay at that job. And that's what I was saying, that really everything in life, in when you have goals, you know, you have to play a game. And we call it a game, but, you know, that's one word you can use, but it's a way to accomplish a goal. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just what people do.
Yeah.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Many years ago when I worked for the airlines, I worked with this old miserable guy. And I could tell he'd been through a lot. So I went up to him, and I asked him, I said, hey, just tell me, what is life all about? Man, this old man looked me right in the face and said, games, Reggie, games, and then walked off. So basically, life is nothing but a big game. It's just how you want to go about it. Just your game, depending on or depending on what you're going through or how life has changed. Look how things are now. 30 years ago, you wouldn't imagine we would be dealing with stuff that we have to deal with now. Society would be the way it is. So now you get to adjust your game or adjust your life,
exactly.
How you want to work.
It's the game of life, and constantly adjusting.
Yeah.
See, that's actually the point. We're dealing with things that many of us find ridiculous, and we can't see that this was set up 30 years ago. Someone Imperator said, game will only work in an environment with dishonorable men. In places where men are immoral, a woman who even entertains men who use game will not even be taken seriously by the rest of the community. So
right.
When we have to play games to get things done and present something, like Alex said, we are unable to sustain it. I've seen people interview and present themselves as something they were not, and they ended up getting fired because they couldn't sustain the position that they were hired for, yet they claimed they had done exactly what the job entailed. So you end up setting up an environment of dishonorable people and toxicity, and the rules of engagement become, well, this is just normal and there's nothing we can do about it. But there was a time, you look at that book, The Scarlet Letter, where, that woman had the letter A of Altus on her forehead, and that is the way your survival depended on you having integrity. So once we start saying, everyone lacks integrity, it's just normal, then we lower the bar for everyone else to lower the bar.
Okay, I remember my elders telling me back in the day when I was a little boy, they used to tell me, Ted, there was a time when a man's word meant something. And his word was his bond, Ted. Now,
right.
These days where we living in now, that's the entire opposite. Because those dudes weren't playing games. Those were real men back then. So we living in this paradigm now that's jacked up.
Hey, Reg, are you wrestling in alligator?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You wrestling
I'm
in
sorry.
Alligator?
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. I'm driving. I'm sorry, dude.
All right. I thought you were wrestling
in
alligator.
Are you playing the game of traffic?
But those
what was that again?
Crazy.
I said,
oh,
see, you're stuck
saying.
In the game of traffic. People honking at you.
So here's where you have to be careful, because when you talk about bringing out the best of a person, right? So if you're a leader, and you're really good at bringing more out of people, that's a major job for a leader in an organization, is to be able to pull more out of people than they know how to do on their own. A coach does that, right? You could call that manipulation, and then because then you say everything is manipulation. And it's the same thing with game. You say, well, everything is. So I'm not saying everything's manipulation, and I'm not saying everything is a game. What I'm saying is there's this having game that often has nothing to do with who you authentically are. And when the relationship sort of settles and that honeymoon period is over, the game is not there, and what fills in is dysfunction, because the game provided a level of excitement that fostered good feelings, but the people didn't really have the skills to have a relationship, and that's one of the things having game will hide. It helps hide the fact that you don't have relationship skills. And the same with an interview, right? You can game people in an interview to hide the fact you don't have the skills, which it comes to light eventually.
Ted, let me ask you a question. Don't you think that, so I was saying, in my opinion, game is just, kind of like your style, not necessarily being a BSer all the time. So if you have game, and you keep your game on, then, you can keep that job or maybe keep that relationship. And personally, I think I have game, but it's not a BS game, because when I say something to the insurance company, I have to back it up with medical documentation, and, or else they're not paying on it. So I can't just make stuff up. So there's a way in life to have game, meaning that you have a good game to get something accomplished, but you don't have to be full of BS. Just like, you know, Jordan let his game talk for him. Tiger Woods, his game talk for him, you know. Any great athlete, his game, you know, talks for itself. A successful business person, entrepreneur, you know, their accomplishments talk for themselves. They have a game, but they really do what they're going to do and can do.
I address that. You can pull the best out of people, and technically you could say you manipulate, except that's really not manipulation. That's just calling everything manipulation. So you could have trained to be the best, a world-class athlete. You just trained. That's who you are now. You became the game, or the game became you. You altered the game like Jordan did, or Tiger Woods. There are lots of people who altered the game. They became the game. The same for a guy who's a great dancer.
The game has to be manipulation and BS.
I'm saying, so here's what we're talking about. If you meet a woman and you have to be other than yourself and you have to have game, that's having game. You have – see, because whoever you are on a day-to-day basis in a relationship, that's not what you're presenting. You're presenting something else, and it's unsustainable.
Okay, so if you present yourself as you are, then you don't have game.
Right. You're not gaming.
You're not
that's
gaming.
That's exactly where I was coming from.
You're not gaming. You're just being yourself, right? And so if a woman's completely being herself, you're going to know rather quickly if the two of you are compatible. But if you present yourself as having game and you know how to match and mirror based on what she's presenting. So if you get two people, and this happens a lot, maybe most of the time, two people are presenting what they think you want to see. So you
okay,
now...
Then I guess your definition is different than mine. That's all.
Being yourself. Being yourself is not a game. You're just being authentically yourself. That's it.
Okay. Well, I always thought, like the gentleman from Montana, I always felt like having game could mean that, you know, you just get the game, you know, you win the game. You just finish, get the end goal. You know how to get there and get it done. You know, you don't necessarily have to lie about it or cheat about it or represent yourself. So, again, it's all in what your definition of game is.
Because I don't have a definition of game. You're talking about getting the second beat.
See, I don't need a definition. Here's what happens when you have game and a guy is talking to a woman. She sits back and lets you entertain her and make her feel good. You never find out if she's compatible with you until much later down the line, because you spent so much time impressing her and showing her your game that she didn't have to do anything. You got the job done, right? You got the girl, but you got the wrong girl because you focused so much on having game that you never actually found out who she was.
I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is that it's subjective because, like, you know, like the gentleman from Montana was saying, like that, what he was describing is what I think of game as, is, you know, the ability to, you know, and when you talk about relationships, get a woman. So, you know, I was just always myself, and I never had any problem doing that. So I guess I never had game because I was being myself. To me, I never thought of having game as being manipulative or displaying yourself as someone different than you really are. I just thought of it as getting it done. So, again, it does come down to, you know, if you have a different definition of that term, then you're going to look differently.
Let me simplify something real quick for the brother. And another instance, I used to hear certain dudes mention having your A game. Now, how can we throw that into this into the mix with just having game? Bringing your A game, elaborate if you could on it.
Say that again. Elaborate on
that.
elaborate on bringing your A game as opposed to having game. Because I used to hear a gentleman talk about bring your A game also.
Not going to work. Not going to work.
Hey, Rich.
Oh, hold on. I got you, Ted. I'm out in public. Hold on.
Well, in corporations, they have people who they call A players. Those are the top players. They get the job done. They don't play corporate politics. They are producers. They are the A players. That's the starting team.
But does that mean A game pick?
In corporations, they have people they call A players. I can only say it to that. People who are the A players are the ones who produce great results. And then you have B players and C players, and they don't perform as well as A players.
Yeah, those are your top people, your top tier people.
Right.
Like Delta Force and the SEALs are top tier special operations units, and then there's other units that aren't considered as difficult to be in that very elite of the elite. So you have to be elite just to be in any form of special operations. But, Delta Force and the SEALs are considered, the top tier, the cream, the creme de la creme of special forces in our military and all around the world. Like in Britain, the SAS, and they were really the first country to have special operations forces, though they didn't call them special operations back then. And then soon after they started, during World War II, we started something that came before the CIA, and that was called something else. So they started it and kind of perfected it, and Delta Force and the SEALs are considered two of the top tier. They are the A-list. It's just like they talk about Hollywood and entertainment, right? A-list people, the same thing. Those are the top people, the biggest stars, the people who make the most money. Well, your A-list special operations people are people in Delta Force and the SEALs, and there may even be other groups that aren't disclosed to the public. You know what I mean? The CIA has, officially don't even exist. And those people come from some of these top tier military units and get recruited into these units that I don't even have a name for, because officially they don't even exist, but we kind of know that they do exist, and that's why they're called black ops.
We're way off topic now, Keith. Like we went to a planet with that. We're way off. Alex, I want to hear some of your thoughts, Alex. You still there, Alex?
Yeah, I'm here. I tuned out for a minute, so I lost the last 5 minutes. But yeah, I'll weigh in a minute. Just give me. I'll check back in.
Okay. All right. So there are people who produce extraordinary results. They don't play corporate politics. You get them on the field. They're speaking to a woman. So if you're a guy who's accustomed to producing extraordinary, you better believe you don't have to play games to get the girl. If anything, she knows she's got to step up and present an authentic self that's a match for you. Otherwise, she's not going to get chosen.
Exactly, Ted. That's exactly where I was going.
So if you're playing games, yes, you might get the girl sexually, but what kind of relationship? What it takes to get her is what it takes to keep her.
And in this vein that me and you talking, Ted, I'm talking about quality over quantity. Because I'm a quality type of dude. So, I just won't settle for less than quality. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, and someone's putting in the chat, sometimes
the guy is not entertaining her, he ignores her. But this is still, you ignore her to get her to come after you. That's a game. Like, that's it, see, part of the way you know you're playing games is it produces zero results. That's why I said to you, Kendrick, A players produce great results. You can count on them for coming in and getting the job done. And Keith, where you were starting with, you know, Delta and Navy SEALs, those guys, you put those guys in to produce specific results because they are trained to produce extraordinary. They don't go in to play politics. I mean, if their job is to play, to disrupt and play politics and create destruction, I understand that. And they're creating a toxic environment by playing a political game with people. But if you want an Olympic athlete, you want the person like Usain Bolt. He trained until he vomits. Arnold Schwarzenegger did the same thing when he was competing for Mr. Olympia. There are people who train and they produce results and they can sustain those results. So when it comes to speaking to it, and if we take Alex's analogy with an interview, hey, I've done these things. I've actually authentically accomplished X, Y, Z. Here's what I've trained in my career to actually exceed what I've done in the past. This is why, and that person comes in and backs it up. People who play games, they can get the job done. They can get hired. They can get the girl to like her, but they don't produce the results. So ignoring a woman to get her to chase you doesn't produce a great relationship. It produces a cat and mouse situation that's producing zero results.
I'm glad you made your point perfectly clear, Ted. I'm going to have to use some of this material. I'm taking notes.
Hey, Ted, well, I don't know if you really realize it. When you were going on earlier about everything about a man has to do and make her happy and keep her laughing and everything's
right
on you, it still goes to, everything is still going back to the fact that she doesn't want to have to take accountability and responsibility for nothing.
So, in Reg, what I was saying is guys are being set up for that for decades,
right,
and they've been set up to accept that. And then women can say, well, the WNBA says they should get paid as much as men in the NBA. And when you look at the economics and the business model, it doesn't work. You can't get there. And I was talking about last week the WNBA, and I also talked about the someone's got too much noise in the background. I talked about the top chess players, and there's a woman who's ranked number 83. I mean, that's damn good, right? She's ranked number 83 best chess player in the world. She plays both men and women. And someone asked, well, she's ranked number 83. Should she get a shot at playing the number, a guy in the top 20? And I said, well, if she's 83, that means there are 82 men ahead of her. So should the guy who's ranked number 80 get a chance at the top 20? Hey, someone's got – everyone go on mute because someone's – you're moving too much stuff around. It's too loud. The microphone –
Okay. Okay, hold on. I think it's me again, Ted. Hold on. Let me go on mute.
All right. So,
I'm moving some stuff. Hold on.
So as a society, what we – the game is, well, if we don't let a woman who's ranked 23 play in the top 20, we're being unfair to her, except we know that the guy who's ranked number 40 has to work his way up to at least number 22 or 21 to play in the top 20. So it's like we've gotten gamed by believing that men have to do all these things and jump through so many hoops. And a woman can be ranked number 83 and still get a shot at that in the top 20 without producing the results of making it up to the number 21. And I'm saying a lot of that happens when men and women meet, that the man is expected that he's supposed to do all the entertaining, and you never really find out if the woman is compatible with you. And a lot of guys don't figure that out until it's too late.
Hey,
Exactly, Ted. So, in other words, men decide, some of us decided not to, it's not worth playing this game. If you know, if it's not beneficiary, why would you make yourself out to be a boo-boo to fool when you don't have to? That's what I look at it.
Alex, you ready to step in? Or Keith?
Yeah, no, I think just reiterating what you said before, I agree, like game, Ted was saying more generally, if you have an organization or a system that encourages lying or deceit as a strategy, eventually that's going to fall apart. A system that has honesty as a virtue is going to have better outcomes. And so, you know, Even individually, it's better for people to be honest in the long run. People are trying these short-term games that will, you know, lying in the short term can give you short-term gains, but, you know, you have to come, I think honesty is generally better. And I guess you have to decide, I mean, if you have, like, dating apps, they can, I suppose, could encourage honesty. You can have, like, feedback mechanisms that give people feedback, which is scary. I mean, like, one thing, this is totally an aside, but there I caught wind of this maybe 10 years ago, and it definitely sent a shiver up my spine. But it was like, I've never visited this website, but there's some website where you can rate, you know, you can name people with their picture and give them feedback based off your dating history. So if there's some guy or some gal that you had a bad or good experience with, I assume mostly bad experiences, you can log on to the site and tell people exactly what you think. I'm sure I don't even remember what this website is called. I don't even know if it's legal. But that kind of thing would certainly encourage honesty, whether that's good or bad, don't know. But, you know, there's in the dating world, the information is not really readily available because of privacy, and people don't want to make that information public. But another. So I'm curious what that website's called. I don't know if it really pertains to the conversation. But another thing that happened in my life recently was I was dating somebody and I didn't trust her at all from the outset. I just didn't trust this woman. And after we dated for 2 months, I called it off. I chose a different woman instead of her, and I ended up having trouble getting over her. So I just ended up calling a bunch of her exes. And it turns out, which is something I've never done before and I've never heard of anyone doing, but it's something weird, but I ended up getting a lot of information from her exes that made it clear that she wasn't a trustworthy person. So my gut was correct. But, you know, and was she gaming me? She was, because I asked her questions point blank. You ever cheated on someone? And she gave me information that this was incomplete and counterfactual. So, you know, I'm not expecting someone to give me 100% honesty. If you ask them, have you ever cheated on someone before, it's a tough question to ask, tough question to answer. But, you know, being a little bit more honest is better because, you know, when your gut is telling you that something's wrong and someone's giving you a rosy picture, it just doesn't align. So in any case, definitely interesting. And how do you encourage honesty in dating, especially the honeymoon phase or the first 10 dates, whatever, who knows, but it certainly seems better to encourage honesty.
Totally agree with you, Alex. And yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you ever want to get over someone and you didn't trust them, you didn't like them, call their exes, find them on LinkedIn. I've never done it before, but man, I really got a lot of catharsis from doing that. And these guys, there's one or two guys that were hung up, and this particular woman was narcissistic, I didn't trust her from the outset, and my gut was right. You know, your gut is usually right. And I called a couple of her exes. I talked to them on the phone, and they were glad to hear from me because they had never reached out to any of the other guys she had dated. And I ended up connecting about 5 different people to each other. So now they all talk to each other and they all had similar stories. So it's like, maybe when you interview a candidate for a job, you call their past employers and you find out what was their track record. Like, you know, I mean, and so in the dating world, it might be, I mean, here's another thing that's important. Like, typically speaking, before the internet, people met people who they had mutual acquaintances at least with. So if you have mutual friends and mutual acquaintances, that kept people more honest. But when you meet a stranger on the internet, you have no common friends or common acquaintances. It's really hard to tell anything about their background. So that's something I discovered, you know, the hard way, is that you just how do you vet somebody that you have no mutual acquaintances with, no mutual friends? Much harder. When you have a couple of mutual friends, people tend to be more honest because they can't lie as easily. They can't project a false image, but it's certainly more difficult. It's easier to lie if there's no way to verify the information. There's no mutual friends or mutual acquaintances. So just an interesting thing that I experienced the last 6 months.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought your story out, Alex, because I had the same type of scenario happen to me. But the only difference to mine and yours was that, you know, the dudes that were dealing with a particular female that I knew from around the way, you know, they were like, you better off just, you know, just leave that girl alone. Me just really just diving deep into it. I had my intuition told me something just wasn't right, though. So, I'm like you. So, you just basically don't know. You pretty much, with this modern online stuff, you're going into the relationship blindsided.
Exactly, so, right, yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, I'm just glad you shared your little bit.
Yeah, and trust your gut, too. Your gut is going to tell you if somebody's trustworthy and if they're lying. Like, you can tell when somebody's, you know, messing, fudging the truth. It's pretty easy to tell. And I guess, you know, sometimes it's better to ask more questions, push a little bit. People can tolerate a lot more. Anybody honest can tolerate a little more pushing on truth, and anybody dishonest might shy away. It's who knows, but yeah. So, I mean, the person I was dating, she said, you know, you approached me. You didn't play any games with me. Everyone else I've dated played games up front. You did not. And I said, that's interesting because, you know, I was playing the bare minimum of games. You always got to play a little bit of a game, but in this case, I was keeping it pretty straightforward. And it worked out in the near term, but in the long run, she just wasn't the right person. But I don't think playing games I think in your 20s, your teens and 20s, playing games sometimes is good. And when you're older, women, I mean, men catch on too, right? I mean, women play different games than men do, but women catch on to the typical games that men play. And so you have to, if you're going to game women, you're going to have to update your game in your 30s and 40s and 50s because women, you know, you need to patch and upgrade your game. That's for sure. I've learned
but
that.
Here's the difference, Alex, when you're dealing with the quote-unquote women in their 30s and 40s. The all the difference between the men and the women by that age range is the hypergamy game that's going on out here.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been taught over the last 3 or 4 years. I've been brought up to speed on what's going on out here. You know, the hypergamy stuff, you know, that's something that a lot of them will pull that card on you if you're not careful.
Right.
See?
So I think sometimes the ends justify the means. If you can play a game and pretend to be richer than you are, have a better job, be more socially connected, whatever it might be, you know, rent a Ferrari for the first date, whatever it takes. If it works, it works, right? If it works, it works. So you just have to be careful to, I think if you have compatibility between two people, and women, you know, and you're dating a good woman with a good heart, however rare they may be, she's not going to care if you're not that rich or whatever, as long as she likes you as a person. But you got to find that woman with a good heart. And so games can work. I'm not saying that you shouldn't lie. I've lied on my resume. One of my best tricks on my resume was to put in a certificate. I would say I'm enrolled in a certificate program. My expected graduation date is next year. And was I really working on the program? Not really. You know, I mean, I was, maybe I enrolled in one of the classes, but I had no intention of finishing the program. I could save 5 or 10K by only doing one of the classes. It was a white lie at worst, because it wasn't really a lie. I mean, maybe I could graduate next year if I actually finished the program, but I put on my resume, expect a graduation date in the future. And sure enough, the employer was satisfied by that. I'd get the job and never complete the certificate, right? And so that's one of the many techniques I've used in my resume, and you can make a parallel with dating, but, you know, like, you know, it's, you don't want to lie too much. You know, you don't want to say I want kids if you don't, or you don't want kids if you do, whatever. That kind of big stuff is just unethical. But, you know, there's a gray area there. There's a big gray area about what works and what doesn't. And if you think that she's the right one, you're right. If you think you're right for her, she's right for you, then do say whatever you think and, like, work it out. I mean, it's, you know, it's there's gray territory.
Keith, a little aside. Do you have any thoughts, Keith?
Somebody done went silent on you, ain't the kid.
All right. Are you on mute? All right. I'll bring in another caller. Area code 111. 111, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Yeah, good evening, kid. It's Richard. How are you?
Hey, pretty well in yourself. Thanks for calling, Richard. How are you?
Great. I was just looking at your topic. I think you did a decent overview, but you failed to define it. You failed to define what game is.
That was purpose. So I didn't fail at that. I did that on purpose.
Yes. That's what I was just about. You preempted me. I was just about to say maybe that was strategic. And I heard one guy say he lied on. Go ahead. Did you say something else?
Oh, no, nothing. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay, yeah, there's some feedback. At any rate, he said he lied on his resume. And this is one of the discussions that I've had about so-called game. Indeed, you do capture it, even though you don't define it, but it brings drama. From the woman's side, it's all about ego expression. And, of course, from the man's side, it's that too. And it brings drama, and it doesn't further the relationships. It's basically a bunch of bullshit. That's what game is. Game is bullshit. You heard it here first. But essentially what it is, it's lying and cheating. That's what game is from the standpoint of a woman wanting game from a man. Now, she'll never say that. She'll never say that. And this is part of the drama unfolding. A woman will say she wants a man with game, but a man with game essentially is one that lies and cheats. And this keeps her piqued because she herself is not on the up and up. Now, there was a guy, I saw him, I hope you don't mind me, this is not name dropping, but he's one master teacher, and he does a lot of traveling, similar to you, Ted. And what he says in one of his videos is that men don't need game overseas. See, there's no need for game because women share the burden of this introduction because they want.
I just said exactly. Keep going.
Yeah, okay. They want a relationship. A game is really about, again, it's BS. The woman is feeding her ego in getting meals and attention, i.e. attention whore, and it's not really about a relationship at all, because all two people have to say who are interested in a relationship is make a connection with each other. Hi, I want to get to know you, boom, boom. And then let the entertainment, if there is any entertainment, flow from their mature adult interaction. Not this game, because game, I'm a man, I like women, especially good women, and I don't like to waste time with game. Game is a time waster. It's a child's it's a child's format is what it is.
Amen.
So I would say game
Amen.
is a horrible thing to relationship development. It bears no usefulness. Now, you know, if you want excitement, you know, deal with truth, be a genuinely exciting person. And this comes from both the woman and the man. So a game is a substitute for substance. That's what game really is.
Well put.
Thank God you brought that out, Mr. Reed.
I didn't say those words, but that's it. It is when you have nothing else to offer, it hides. You can hide behind game and appear exciting, and you have so much going on. But when it comes to the day-to-day commitment of a relationship, you have nothing to offer to it, and it falls apart. And that's how people get into this cat and mouse. I talked about it earlier, how, you know, as long as you chase her, she feels good. You chase and you feel good like you're accomplishing something, except that's just dysfunction. And a lot of people have relationships like that. But it's part of it, what people call the game.
Right, T. You and Mr. Richard both are 100% correct.
So I think what's going to have to happen, if men are going to change the paradigm in dating, and it needs to be changed, they're going to have to confront women, and both men and women are going to have to grow up, because it is difficult approaching women. Because when one approaches another person, that person is bearing themselves. You're saying, here's my soul, whatever size it is, and I'm exposing myself. I'm becoming vulnerable. And women don't want to do that for the most part. And men, a lot of men protect the worst in women. They protect the absolute worst in women. You could almost call it evil if you like. And I know on a larger level, it certainly becomes evil, and evil comes out of it. But a man and a woman should be able to just converse with each other. That's what they need to start focusing on, and that's where they'll see that they're the weakest, just in having a normal conversation. And like you said, Ted, men will try to clown other men on this BS about game. And
right.
Those are the worst type of men. Those are the men who have zero real advice to disseminate. They're silly. They're immature men who promote this sort of thing. Game should be gotten away with. It's a cancer in relationships. Now, I'm not saying don't be exciting. Find ways to be genuinely exciting. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I think I'm asserting is that guys who are consider themselves to be good at having game, they've been trained or tamed by women. So whether it was their mother, their sister, cousin, female cousin, a woman who's a friend of theirs, taught them how to have game with women, except really they've been tamed by women and how to they taught them how to entertain women without the woman having to ever reveal themselves. So it's almost like the guy really was tricked into playing completely by women's rules without ever really expressing his manhood. He just accommodated and acquiesced to what women wanted. And so what a woman is able to do is hide whether she's compatible or not. So she can just hide behind you playing game and let you entertain her. And you don't find out until later that she's not compatible, and you're not able to sustain that game, and it really doesn't add value to the relationship. It's, I used earlier, it's analogous to corporate politics. You can play lots of games in corporations, and there are people who come up the ladder and play corporate politics, but technically they don't produce great results. They spend too much time crafting some political game to their own advantage, and as someone said in the chat, it creates a toxic environment.
You know, while that's true, let me just make a quick analogy here. It's kind of like, you know, going to Vegas and playing the roulette wheel, or blackjack or whatever, you know, gambling vis-a-vis playing the stock market. Now,
right.
Obviously, there's a component to gambling in the stock market. However, there's also value. There's value over time. That's the reason most of us are invested in the stock market, because we see value and we see a return on value over time. Whereas, you know, anyone who goes to Vegas and views that as a retirement plan, one would call that foolish. I don't think any financial advisor would advise anyone to go to Vegas or Vegas-like scenario. And the same thing here is of course, true. If you look in corporate America, yeah, of course there are some games played. Absolutely. Silliness, nonsense. However, there is value connected with that. And overall, there does have to be value. Otherwise, the business goes under. So I think the difference is with a lot of women, like I've interviewed a lot of players and some pimps, and they talk about getting more ass than a toilet seat. But if you think about, if you look in their wake of women, the women were used like toilet paper and tossed aside, like a used Kleenex or whatever. I mean, they don't even know the first or the or even the 50th woman they fucked. Right? They don't remember her name. She's not even real. And so that's what you produce when you talk about perfecting the game. Game should be totally dispensed with. Again, I'm not saying a person shouldn't be exciting, genuinely exciting. Game is immaturity at its best, and it's evil at its worst. In my humble observation.
So, Richard, I'm glad you brought up. Go ahead. I'm going to talk about pimps, but go ahead, Kendrick. Go ahead.
So, Mr. Richard, I heard you said something. You brought up something about the stock market and men who betting at the casino. Okay. So where would you rank a young fella like me who had the mindset to put his money in precious metals? Where would you rank me?
Well, I tell you, first thing, I don't give investment advice, but what I would say is study the information, study the history of money. I think it was Nicholas Copernicus wrote a treatise on species, and I think commodities are the best, in my opinion, commodities are the best investment. Now, Bitcoin has come up. And it's been different. But I think, you know, always consult a good financial advisor. Do a lot of your own reading, because no matter who, you know, whom you listen to, you're going to have to make the ultimate decision. So I would say read some good books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Richest Man in Babylon, The Millionaire Next Door, et cetera, et cetera. And then after you read all these resources, one a picture does emerge on what is a good investment. Peter Schiff, I listen to him. You know, he's a public figure. He's out there. I listen to him. What's that guy on Shark Tank? I'm sorry, what?
I think you're talking about Axelrod, right?
No, there's a guy on Shark Tank. But anyway, this may be veering off from the subject, but anyway, yeah, there are a number of good investment advisors out there, and I would say get the one that says pay them to talk to you. Don't take any free advice. Pay the, you know, $25, $50, whatever it is, for a half-hour session. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you'll come out better.
That's true, cause it's almost, in effect, like I told Ted, it's a narrative that dudes just fall to just be, play this perpetual boo-boo the fool, jump through hoops for women, and then keep your mouth shut. But that's not
the case. Now, there's an old saying that says, a man will never lose any women by chasing money, but he'll lose a lot of money by chasing women. And that's
what I'm going to
say this, and not demeaning women, but the women that it applies to, of course. there are a lot of useless women out there who will drain a man's resources. And when you, when a man eventually finds the woman that he needs resources to be in a relationship with, he comes up short. But he's wasted his resources on meaningless women. So it's going to be very important to differentiate women who are just trying to separate one from their resources as opposed to a woman that's truly worthy of resources being shared. And notice I do use the word shared with. And, you know, one of the things, our relationships have gone off the rails, and I appreciate what Ted does because he talks about this. This hits us squarely between the eyes, this thing of game, because both men and women subscribe to this bullshit. Now, you'll find ethnic segments will play a greater or lesser role, but all of us have been infected in this in Western culture, particularly with this notion, this useless notion of game. It's absolutely useless in its essence. It serves no good purpose. And I think when Ted says, he calls it, what do you say, faithfully follow? He talks about when you bring things that provide no value, there you go, you are left with disappointment and drama.
Right.
See?
And that's true.
Yeah. And so even though he didn't define it, he did define it. You know, ultimately.
So, I wonder if a lot of guys who are pimps and talk about, you know, they've had more ass than toilet seats. I wonder if they fit into the category of what I was saying, is that they were actually tamed by women on how to have game. And I, you know, I'm going to give two examples, and it doesn't mean this applies to all men, but I really think a lot of guys who become pimps because of women. I know a woman who married when I say a bad boy, this is the bad boy of bad boys of bad boys. And not only him, his brothers. I mean, he was a dangerous man. And she married this guy, and like many bad boys, they not easily controlled, right? And I guess she liked that, and there was excitement. Well, her husband, her now husband, was hanging out in another state where he met a woman. Now, man, this is a bad boy who's, I'm telling you, he's dangerous. He meets a woman who, the way it was described to me, he was turned out by this woman, and this woman convinced him to be a pimp. So he had game, and he had a bunch of women, and he sold drugs. He ended up getting shot because he was that bad that you didn't really want to fight this guy. So someone dealt with him with a bullet, and he was killed. But supposedly he was a good pimp, too. But it was a woman who convinced him that being a pimp was like he was built for that. So, you know, do women look, it's like married women look for certain kind of guys. Do women who already want to be prostitutes look for a certain kind of guy that they can train to protect them while they wanted to be a prostitute anyway, but just not a freelancer because it's dangerous? And I met a woman who worked, she was the second in charge of the marketing department at a major regional bank in Washington, D.C. Very attractive woman, very well-educated, and second in charge in marketing. So I do business with this company. I deal with the first and second in charge. And the first in charge told second, hey, you make the decision. I was selling advertising to the bank. So they bought it. So now this very attractive woman is no longer working at the bank. She calls me at my job, and she and I hooked up. We hooked up quite a few times. And then she said, she came up with this
great idea, which seemed like it was already in her head. And she suggested to me that she knew this guy who would pay her to have sex with her, and she knew three other guys who would do that. And I would just drive her, and, you know, she'd give me the money, and I'd give her whatever percent. I was shocked that she's attractive, well-educated, and I'm trying to figure out, why is this woman saying this to me? And she brought it up to me two other times. I cut ties with her, but if I would have allowed myself to be tamed or led by her, I would have... If I was doing a live stream now, and I'd be doing it as a pimp or a former pimp, if I would have followed her path, but I had no interest in that. And she talked to me about how we could get other women to do the same, and, you know, so basically she was looking for me to be a pimp. So a lot of guys, what I'm getting at is a lot of guys who call themselves pimps and know how to deal with women, I think a lot of them have been led by women who turned them into pimps. But they sell the hype. You know, they're telling you how much ass they got, but really they're being led by women.
And when you sum that all up to it, that's not a true role of masculine leadership. When you sum it all up to it.
That's part of what I'm getting at, Kendrick. Right. These men are not as masculine as they are presenting themselves to be.
So,
right.
And those dudes be wanting to shame the real masculine dudes who don't partake in all this social. You know, they call us misogynist and sexist and all this stuff. But them type of dudes are the bane of society. How can that dude leave me in here doing derogatory stuff? Come on, man. Be for real.
Well, while I would agree with you there, I would say that's not the major source of the problem for men there. It's men at a lower level. It's because if you take a pimp, I was once listening to Roy Masters, and I think he made some decent points. I mean, I listened to everybody. And Roy Masters, I think, accurately described a pimp. And she, by the way, she wanted you to be her pimp. And she was really in control, which could have gotten you killed, by the way. But Masters described a pimp as part man, part woman, and part devil, or part demon. And I think he was on to something when he said that, because a pimp operates at a much higher level than even a player. Now, a player could, you know, obviously graduate to a pimp, but a pimp is on a whole other level. And I don't disagree with you, Ted, that pimps and many women, I did a study once on serial murderers or serial killers, and usually the first person bad influence in their lives were their mothers. And usually that was the one that they also offed. But, yeah, women can have a horrible negative influence on men. Now, they also have the possibility of having a phenomenal positive influence on men. I would say in many instances, and I think you alluded to this, if not directly stated it, Ted, when a man really has a bent soul, and I think a pimp does have a bent soul, I think you can trace that back to some woman in their early lives, or early influence of women. And so I think that, you know, I used to use this example of Dracula and what was the other one? Satan, yeah, Dracula. You know, Dracula is a super fucker. I mean, there's nothing that he gets into more than sex. You know, the women coming out at night in a trance, in their nightgowns and all this type of thing. And so you find that men who really have an evil motivation, sex is often very much a part of it. And so, but I think women, again, are the drivers. Women are often the drivers in this. Remember, I don't know if you guys buy into the Genesis story of Adam and Eve. I do. I think it's the best explanation. But you notice the woman left her first estate, and she went to the demon to get advice, and she followed it. And so women are more likely, in my own experimentation, to follow a lie. And that's what a pimp does, is he maps out a woman's psyche, and he tells her all the lies that she wants to hear. And that's the way he ropes her in. And madams do that too, by the way. I mean, they're like on a team, you know, never think that a man works alone. And a lot of serial murderers, by the way, work in conjunction either with their wives and or female companions.
Richard, term you talking about with the pimp having the bent, twisted souls in the holes, what you really referring to is the incubus and the succubus spirits. And most people don't believe that those two spirits, those two entities exist. But when you look at the actions of some of these men and some of these women out here, it kind of makes you wonder, Mr. Richard.
Hey, Richard, I met a guy years ago in D.C. I was in a jazz club. God, I can't remember the name of it. Trumpets, maybe. But I was in my 20s, and I met a guy who was, I think he was 40 at the time. And he was a clean cut, I forget what his profession, he was a professional. And he had made a lot of money, did doing well in life. And he said he wanted to write a book. He was doing research. He wanted to write a book on the pimp and prostitute life. So he said he had been going, there was this one club on K Street, I think. And he went there often, and he said he had figured out the common trend that all prostitutes shared. The pimps allowed him in the place and never saw him as a threat, and the pimps allowed him to speak to their women without, you know, any negative repercussion. And then he interviewed the pimps. So when I met him, he was still working out the common thread on the pimps. But for the prostitutes, the one thing, the common thread was none of those women wanted any responsibilities. They didn't want to deal with bills. They didn't want to deal with counting money and what to do with it. They didn't want to deal with threats. Like anything that had responsibilities, they turned that over to their pimp. And they were willing to lay on their backs or, you know, give head, provided they didn't have to be responsible for anything. With they liked to go shopping, they would get a few bucks, but the pimp took care of everything. So these were women who wanted zero responsibility. And the woman who I said was trying to talk me into being a pimp, even though she was educated and had a job, she didn't want responsibility. She faked a way to get out. She faked a nervous breakdown at work, and she was allowed some, like, disability, but there was nothing wrong with her. She just didn't want the responsibility of work, so she thought if I were her pimp, she could make money being a prostitute, but that would be more like, what do you call it, call girl? You know, she would have appointments, scheduled appointments, not on the street. So women who want zero responsibility is what he was saying is prostitutes have in common.
Well, yeah, I would say that's certainly a part of it from my perspective. But, you know, if you take a pimp, for example, a pimp operates necessarily outside of the law. And,
right.
Look, I'm not a prude when it comes to sex. I believe a person should have a robust and healthy sex life. But I think, you know, with the pimp, of course, you have drugs involved. You have violence.
Right.
I mean, violence, it's rife with violence. And so it's just not a healthy environment at all. And, you know, women gravitate to it. Now, of course, today the Internet has given women, and I say social media, have given women a different avenue. And a lot of women prostitute themselves on social media. And so I think this notion of who don't want responsibility, I think you're right. But look at what they do. They fake it. they can put up a great facade that they are responsible when, you know, at a very basic level, they're very irresponsible. So I just let me say also, I think a woman represents a clear and present danger to men. And oftentimes, if it's not her herself, now you think, I think about, think back to Steve McNair, how this bitch shot him in his sleep. She, you know, murdered him. She literally. Most women will use the law to control and abuse men. So men have to be, especially men of means and men who want to be of means, have to be very careful in dealing with women. And I would say ultimately dealing with a woman. She has to be vetted very, very carefully.
A man doesn't
represent the same threat necessarily to a woman, vice versa. A woman represents a huge threat to a man, and it can just be on the basis of feelings, just bullshit. If you notice with your vower, a woman can just, you know, call up the cops and have you arrested because you made her feel uneasy, you see. So, I mean, women represent a danger to men that most men are not even aware of.
Kevin Samuels is trying to bring to the light, Mr. Richard. If people was to listen to him and spend less time trying to criticize the man, calling him gay and all that other stupid stuff, you were listening to what's actually coming out that man's mouth. It's not feasible for the top tier men right now to be marrying anything right now. And likewise,
right, and I say this is the reason men need to fight. We need to fight. You know, freedom of speech is incorporated into our Bill of Rights for a purpose, because language has the ability to change things. And men are going to have to fight. We're in a fight now. You've been drafted, whether you want to be or not. And I think women are worth the fight. I really believe that. And men are just going to have to roll up their sleeves and get ready to do what men have to do, because we have to conquer this. We have to re-civilize civilization, because it has become done. It has become uncivilized. And even though we live in an apparently civilized society, I mean, our social interactions are just in the toilet, and you
right.
point this out, Ted, in your synopsis here of this thing called game, and women are major pushers of this. Now, look, if a woman told a man, "I'm not interested in you paying for me," and this is where it comes down to. I used to use this as a little test case. And I still do, in fact. If a woman told a man, "Look, I'm interested in you. I'm not interested in you paying for me," although it would take a very noble woman to do that, but some do. I'm interested in you for you. And past this point, if you insist on paying for me, there'll be no opportunity for any sexual interaction between you and me. Now, if a woman does that, she can test a man's true grit with respect to if he really wants to pay. And I would say to you, most men are lying about really wanting to pay. They want to fuck. They don't want to
right.
pay. And so if women are able to tap into real truth, but it takes a woman that's really on truth herself, a very disciplined woman. I guarantee you 99 out of 100% of men will back off on this wanting to pay, because what they really see this paying as, and it goes back to what Ted was saying earlier, I believe, is that women see paying in a way is a way of relieving a woman of responsibility. Because if truth be told, a woman should have a budget for dating also, just like she should have a budget for her mortgage or her rent. She should have a budget for her groceries. She should have a budget for her automobile repair, right? That's called being responsible. And she should have a budget for dating. But we never really task women. And as I said before, if you go back maybe half a century, which is not that long ago, maybe little bit further than a half a century, three generations, 50 to 75 years, you'll find that women would invite men and they would prepare a dinner, not purchase a dinner per se, but actually prepare a dinner. And that showed her ability to have some wifely skills for a ultimate healthy, what I call pair bonding relationship, right?
Yeah,
and bro. That demonstrated her family connection, because all the family were there with eyes on everybody, you and her. And, of course, if everything went well, then you guys went to church. Now, women have changed it into wanting a five-star restaurant dinner. I mean, that's just crazy. She doesn't deserve that. She hasn't done anything to earn a dinner. And when you couple that with what we said, and I encourage guys to look at that, where women were associated with the what you call the dark triad, and that is just going out with men for meals. That's the way they supplemented their budget. Just going out. They didn't give a damn about the man. It was only his ability to buy them a meal. Now, I would say that's fraud of the worst kind, okay? And so the only way men can protect themselves against that is, just like I said, a walk in the park, bottle of water, a coffee date, something that costs little to nothing. See if she's really interested in you. Because just like she doesn't want to give up sex, which I understand, a man doesn't want to give up his very, very valuable asset, which are his resources. And it's not about being cheap. It's about being consciously aware, and it's about being, it's about being financially responsible.
Yes, sir. You got to be a good steward over everything, Mr. Richard. That's what I was taught.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you something. If you need a loan, good luck getting it from her.
Right.
If you need money, good luck getting it from the woman you took out on a meal date.
Before I say something, Alex, do you have any thoughts? Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I was going to. Richard's very eloquent, and I agree with what he's saying. I have a little bit of a different take on it. I mean, I think Ted really likes that word. I might be mispronouncing it. Heristophilia? You know what I'm saying?
That one.
Which is, you know, women who find men who are deviants, you know, especially with regard to doing illegal activities, you know, being, you know, I guess outlaws in a way, they find them to be sexually attractive. And so this is kind of a nuanced point, but you know, I think women do actually find men with game to be attractive. And if you look at biology, like evolutionary biology, there's a reason for that. Men who can lie and cheat oftentimes are more sexually successful. They have more children, whatever. So when you let to a degree, if you let women make decisions about which partners they mate with, you might encourage women to select men that are basically liars and cheaters, and
right.
That has a negative consequence for society as a whole. So
right.
like we've seen in the last 50, 60 years, when women are liberated, so to speak, society tends towards chaos, in short, because women tend to select men that do short-term good and long-term damage, right? So, you know, we want to encourage an honest society that has, you know, long-term bonds and community that raises children properly and all that. And so the point being is that women, scientifically speaking, a large fraction of women find deviant men to be attractive, because deviant men tend to be successful if they are intelligent, and because lying requires a certain degree of intelligence. So it's not good behavior, but I would say there's a strong correlation between being a successful liar and being intelligent, right? So that's the problem, is that intelligence has lots of good evolutionary benefits. Lying and intelligence are correlated. Women don't mind being with a liar because his offspring might be successful in turn, et cetera, et cetera. So it's complicated, but in short, I would say it goes along with the problem of when women are doing a lot of the mate selection, because it used to be that families would arrange marriages, there's arranged marriages. Women didn't do as much selection, especially back in historically. I mean, chimpanzees is very, very complicated. There's lots of forced copulation, things like that. So anyway, it's very complicated, but I think when we see women making more decisions, we have a lot more, you know, bad choices. So anyway,
I'm sorry. What's your name?
My name is Alex.
Oh, Alex. Let me give a little bit of pushback.
I don't think.
I agree with some of what you said, but I don't think you say short term good, but long term it doesn't work out well. I don't think the short term is that good either.
Sure.
And I think also you are concurring with the definition of game as being lying and cheating. I like the way you put that to make the point, but it seems that you are agreeing that game is basically lying and cheating, correct?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah.
Right. And I would say going back to the Genesis equation, or scenario. See, I've actually done this. I've done both. I've had normal, truthful conversations with women, and I know how to be interesting. I mean, come on. And I've told them the truth, which wasn't that look, to a lot of people, the truth isn't that interesting because it doesn't create all the avenues of speculation and fantasy and this kind of stuff in the minds of many people, whereas a lie does, you see. So I've told women the truth. And, well, I'll deal with this one woman. I told her the truth, and she didn't find that exciting. So I devised an experiment to where I would lie to her purposefully. I lied to her. She didn't know it at the time. I did. And she found that very exciting. I mean, she was just on her toes. And then I told her at the conclusion of the experiment, I said, virtually everything I've told you from certain point to this point has been a lie. It's not true. And she became enraged. She was very upset because I exposed it. And I said, well, why? You are the cause of the problem anyway, because you got excited about the lie. Of course, you got even more excited and upset when I told you it was a lie. But you really forced me into doing that. And I would say that's true because if you look, take note of a lot of guys will say when they were nice guys, they didn't get nearly the interaction and responses from women that they got when they became an asshole.
That's my point.
Now go figure. And I've heard that from countless guys.
Same here. And that's what's confusing to me, Mr. Richards, so please continue to elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, our culture promotes the insanity. And see, the other thing is when women choose badly, the only way, and Ted and I have talked about this, the only way to make a person accountable is to allow them to reap the consequences of their behavior. When we set up social safety nets to cushion the fall of women when they make bad choices, they never learn their lessons.
Right.
We can't even criticize women. I think this gentleman, I'll just bring his name, Mr. Samuels, when he told a woman she was average at best, which he just agreed with her. Oh, man, everybody got their panties in a bunch.
Yes,
so we really encourage, we as a society, and certainly as a society of men, are encouraged not to tell women the truth about them, to tell them the truth about them and their behavior. Like saying to a woman, you're fat, you're overweight, you're unfit, right? And so that has been found to be the number one criteria of men for women across cultures, is that they be fit. And women don't want to be fit. They want to be fat, and they want to say, accept me as I am. So the same is true, you know, they find out in criminal sentences. When men and women do the same thing, women get a lighter sentence. Now, that's beginning to change, I will say, because more women are becoming judges, and women judges are a lot more harsh on women than male judges are. But the reason that women tend to be the worst that they can be, especially from being a partner, a capable partner, is because society offers no consequences for them. Like if a woman hits you, you'll hear it said, a man should not hit a woman. And I agree with that, and I think that's horrible. In a healthy relationship, neither the man or the woman should be hitting each other. But what you don't hear said is that women shouldn't hit a man. Just hear men shouldn't hit women. And so I think what we do is we allow women to really be out of control and not suffer the consequences of their actions. And that only delays the healing process, in my humble observation.
Right, Mr. Richard. It's just like the analogy, three little Caucasian teenage boys. I forget the name of the commercial, but they did a skit some years ago where three boys got high, and two of them slapped a bull across his butt, and the bull wasn't even aware of what was going on, but the third one came along and slapped the bull on the butt, and he stumbled and fell, and that bull whooped his tail, Mr. Rich, stomping him and kicking him. See, that's what your brain looks like on drugs. I think that was the slogan. But that's the same analogy right now. That's the same scenario, Mr. Rich.
Right, right. Well, I just think, you know, like I say, a man can start with his next date with a woman, having a conversation with her on the phone. If you know, always try to have a phone conversation and find out. And then, you know, Tom Likas, I'll just go back to him in history. Tom Likas would always say, never spend over $40 on a date, zero if possible. Now, sometimes you may have to spend money on a date, but if you're smart, you'll spend zero on a first date until you get to know the woman and know that she's worthy. And, you know, talk to her about real things. Men have to stop being afraid to tell women what's on their mind. First of all, let there be something on your mind. Because men tend to be very shallow toward women. I will say this. Many men are not very deep at all. You're not very profound. So you should read a few books and, you know, challenge her. Women like a challenge. Challenge her in a healthy way. Now, you know, the woman that Ted described is really interesting. I think this is a woman who had prepared herself, and a lot of women are in that particular category. A lot of women get these degrees, and they don't really want to work like men would have to work with those degrees. They don't. The average woman does not want to work 40 years tied to a desk until she's dead or in a dangerous job. The average woman doesn't want to do that. But she has to do that now because she's fought for equal rights. And what men need to do, I'm sure most of you have seen a grinding stone. Her nose needs to be held to the grinding stone of what she has demanded. She's demanded equality. Equality comes with accountability. She should be held accountable in dating, in sex, across the board. The University of Chicago, several universities did this, but I'm just citing the University of Chicago. They did a survey where they found out that partners who initiate sex approximately half the time have a more satisfying sex life. Now, I mean, it didn't really take a study, as far as I'm concerned, to confirm that, but men... A lot of men have been removed from their humanity, okay?
Right.
they've just been relegated to machines, automatons, as it were, robots, moist robots. And men have feelings. Our feelings are what make us human. And so, you know, it would only make sense that a woman that a man is involved with shows interest in having sex with him would make him more appreciative, and it would be showing value toward him, okay? So, I mean, they did the study. You can look it up, but women need to be informed about men. I've heard women say to me, I didn't know that men hurt. And I'm like, are you stupid? What's wrong with you? What do you mean you didn't know that men? See, a lot of women think they do. I mean, you can laugh, but a lot of women are under the impression that anything they do to men emotionally is okay because it doesn't harm men. Men are emotionally impervious. That's the way a lot of women feel. And actually, men are hurt more than women. We often hear, I'll give you one quick one. Let me just give you this one. They say, you'll hear people often say, well, when a man tricks a woman into having sex, she is more emotionally hurt. Bullshit. A lot of men, when a woman has sex with them, I mean, they are emotionally tied to her. Now, she may break it off later on or whatever, but it devastates a lot of, particularly younger men and even some not so young men. So men need to make it clear. I'm not talking about groveling or anything like that or being overly emotional. I'm just saying women need to be apprised and educated in the area that, hey, men have feelings that matter. And most women are not trained to be aware of that.
Well, you know what they're trained to believe about men, right?
Go ahead.
They train them to play the game.
Yeah, what the one thing that you hear, especially in the U.S., is men only want one thing. Men just want sex. That's all they care about. So there's no feelings. So they're told that men can have sex. They're told that women need to be emotionally attached to have sex, and men need sex to be emotionally attached. So they see men as just wanting sex with no emotional attachment. And they're told that women are smarter than men, women are more mature. So if you keep telling little girls this and women, how do you think they're going to look at men? They're going to look down on them as just some object, right? The very thing women don't want is to be objectified. Men are seen as objects that are there to protect women and provide capital like an ATM machine. And he has no feelings because he just wants sex, and hell, you can control him with that. You can get him to do what you want with sex by denying it or rationing it out. So, and part of the problem is men, fathers, teach this to their daughters. I had a woman call in a few weeks ago. She said something like her father said, men are lousy. And I said, your father set you up for failed relationships because men are not lousy. But see, part of the problem is not only do women believe men only want one thing, a lot of men believe that's their identity for being a man. That's the way men are. Men only want one thing. And so you create a catastrophe.
But there are men said that do only want one thing.
Say that again?
I said there are men who only do want one thing, and there are women who only do want one thing, whatever that one thing may be. So, you know, I'm not saying all men are like that, but some men are like that.
I question that. There may be men who only want one thing from certain women, but men don't want just sex. Like, even the most hardened criminal is going to want some kind of emotional connection with a woman, but just not with any woman. But I think part of the problem is once you buy into it, you think that's who you are,
And when a lot of these guys who bought into it get into a relationship, they find themselves having feelings, and it's a learning experience for one. And now they find that they should have perhaps chose a different woman for what they really needed as opposed to what they were sold that they needed.
I know some people, I'm not going to mention any names, obviously, but I know like some guys that maybe have been divorced or they had a really bad experience with their mom or something like that. And, they, you know, anytime it gets serious or, you know, the girl wants to, you know, have a commitment, so to speak, or whatever, they just kind of dump them. And I know someone who's a small business owner, and he's a total hoe bag. You know, he doesn't want a relationship. He just, I think he was so scarred by his divorce
Women. Right.
You know, women are just one thing to him, and that's just as a sexual plaything.
Yeah, that's
not the small guy.
That's like a scam. I mean, it's what Richard was saying, that guys really do end up getting hurt. And so now to protect himself is to never go down that path. Women do the same thing.
Right.
You know, I was hurt
right.
so badly well, from a relationship
absolutely.
Or marriage. Go ahead.
When I was 20 years old, you know, I was crushed, you know, my first love, thought we were going to get married, you know, we broke up, and, you know, I've been happily married for almost 19 years and lived with her total of 28 years, so I got over it. I'm not saying all men are like that, and I agree with you. Most men want an emotional attachment, but there are some men who just, you know, they are, it has to deal with their feelings because they don't want to get hurt again. But there are men who just never get over that hump and just, you know, just they're long enough to build up that emotional attachment because they just hump them and dump them.
Hold up, Kendrick. See, I don't think that says those men don't want more than sex. All that says is these men don't trust themselves to choose the right person. So they just, they withhold what they really want and just take the easier route to stay out of, to not be hurt again. So that's someone working on what they don't want instead of what they do want. They're trying to avoid
I also think that, And this goes back to what someone was saying about serial killers. You know, it starts with a bad relationship with a woman. There are a small percentage of men who actually hate women but seek them out for sexual purposes or domination purposes or both.
Right.
And they hate women because they never got over that emotional scar that usually dates from when they were young. So, you know, there's a lot of guys, we're emotional too, and some guys never get over these things, and I'm sure there's girls who never get over these things as well. So at the end of the day, we're all human, and
exactly.
If you play the game, it's not going to bode well for you in the short run or the long run. You know, playing the game, so to speak, is like building a house with a bad foundation. Eventually, it's just going to crumble on your head.
And
you know what? I recommend everybody get to the level, and I'm going to say the maturity level, that they can talk about getting counsel. Now, look, I know no one would disagree with having an annual checkup. Now, but when it comes to having an annual mental checkup, a lot of people would balk at that because we see that as being something really wrong with us that's that maybe shouldn't be or certainly we shouldn't reveal. But I think it's no problem with a man asking a woman, have you had relationship therapy? I think that would promote some good conversational direction. Look, I just pulled up a study here from the University of Texas at Austin, all right? And it's called a meta study. It's in the Archives of Sex Behavior, Why Humans Have Sex. And it's by a Cindy Meston and a David M. Buss. And I think that these guys are experts in this area. And they say here, of the 50 reasons that humans engage in sexual activity, the top five are identical for men and women. And it goes thus. I was attracted to the person, male. I was attracted to the person, female, male. I wanted to experience the physical pleasure, female. It feels good, male. It feels good, that's number three, female. I wanted to experience the physical pleasure. I wanted to show my affection to the person. That's the male. Female, it's fun. And, of course, number five, I wanted to express my love for the person. And the female, I wanted to show my affection to the person. So I think, and one other thing in addition to that, a female has a clitoris. The only function of the clitoris is not multifunctional. It is only for sexual gratification. Now, the penis, of course, serves a number of functions, obviously to urinate. It's the generative organ, it's you know, for procreation. And so you have a, and also for sexual pleasure. So you have, with the woman, it has multiple usages, the penis. But the clitoris is single purpose. And single purpose means that a woman has a greater sexual capacity. She can have both a clitoral and a vaginal orgasm, as it were. So women actually have a greater sexual capacity than women. Women don't need any downtime between orgasms. Men, no matter how good you are, men, you always need at least a modicum of downtime. So a woman is actually more sexual than a man. But in this meta study, which means this is the study that brought all the other studies together, meta study, and thus it came to the conclusion that men and women, the top five of the 50 reasons that humans engage in sex, the top five are the same for men and women. And I encourage you guys to go look the study up for yourself. It's online. University of Texas at Austin, and look at Dr. David M. Buss, B-U-S-S, right? Why humans have sex. So we need to dispense with this idea that men want sex and women don't. Why the hell would a woman have an organ specifically designated for sex and sex only if she wasn't a highly sexual being? Now, what many women are able to do, they're able to deflect and defer their sexual interest. They can use children. They use girlfriends. They use their machinations. They use their womanly wiles. They use all these things to deflect from the. But women are highly sexual. Now, last week I brought up a couple of things about women, and the week before. And one of the things I said about women was fun. Now, Joe seized up on that and made a point of it, but it was an excellent point, by the way. And the point, if a woman is fun, that means a lot more than fun, by the way. Fun means that she has a capacity of actually relating, which is very important. A lot of women are socially awkward and unavailable, emotionally unavailable. But a woman that can have fun with a man, that's demonstrating that she likes the man. She has the ability to relate to him. It recognizes an emotional intelligence. So a woman's ability to have fun is a very exalted characteristic of a relational female, or a female that is of relationship quality. Can she have fun? And see, what men need to do is become, I would say, cognizant, educated, aware that women play a great role in relationships. Now, that should be no surprise, but the real surprise is they don't fulfill that role. And so what I think men can do and should do is start to themselves become aware of what their role and what a woman's role or what a partner's role should be, and shifts the appropriate amount of responsibility back onto the woman. Why aren't you fit? Why aren't you fun? Why aren't you cooperative? And so on and so forth. But I think those three are good for starters. Fit, fun, and cooperative.
So the clit, just to add to what you said about the clit, the penis has, I think the number is like 2,000 nerve endings just for pleasure. The clitoris has over 4,000. So, and this I learned from a woman gynecologist. So technically, because of that, a woman, her clit is designed for her to climax in 5 minutes on average, and a man climaxes on average in 7 minutes. That's the way they were designed. So as you were saying, Richard, a woman's clit is for one purpose. It's for pleasure. And she has more than twice as many nerve endings on that just for pleasure. So technically, unless a woman has some negative preconceived notions about sex or has been raped, molested, you know, has a negative conversation in her head about sex, she should be able to come in 5 minutes. On average. And also want to address, you were saying women are emotionally unavailable. I think men...
Hey, let me just add this to the clitoris, if you don't mind, Ted.
Uh-huh.
The clitoris is not, even though it's in a central spot, a woman, and this may go to your the 4,000 nerve endings, the clitoris... It actually occupies the entire pelvic region. It's not just, even though it does have a central location, a lot of anatomists have said, excuse me, that the clitoris, its sensation is around the entire vaginal area. So it has a huge ambit of impact.
And then when you add the G-spot to that, you know, I mean, you guys have heard me talk about living in Mexico, and I was with women in Mexico, but I also met guys from the U.S. who had Mexican wives or girlfriends. And it's interesting that, like clockwork, you can set your watch to it. Mexican women come in 5 minutes, and it's not faking. They also are fully aware of their G-spot and how to have it properly stimulated during sexual intercourse to have to squirt or, you know, to have a different kind of climax from an internal vaginal. So it's their attitude towards sex. It's very healthy. Their attitudes towards men is healthier than what you see here. That was several years ago when I lived there. But I'm saying, really what I'm saying is that it's their entire mindset or attitude towards men and sex that affects their pleasure. And it seemed that they were able to maximize their ability to enjoy sex. And as you were saying, Richard, they can have multiple, like again, 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 and again. So, yeah, women do enjoy sex. I think, as you were saying, like a mental health checkup, but I think we as humans in our, at least in high school, need to have a better understanding of psychology and neuroscience. So you were saying women are emotionally unavailable, and I would say that from a neuroscientific perspective, it's probably may not be because of emotional unavailability. Women worry about things. The way their brain works, you put a man and woman in the same situation. I pulled this up last week and showed the article. Women will worry about things that are not happening now. They didn't happen in the past, and they won't happen in the future. So it may look like she's unavailable, but she has more fears about things. And if men could understand that and better navigate that it's one of the reasons I would say women look to men for it, because we're more emotionally stable. I mean, everyone says women are more emotional, but they don't really understand that the neuroscience behind it. Her brain is lighting up, and she's literally making up stories in her head about things that she had, that a man is not going to worry about. So if men could understand that better, it would be helpful for both.
Right. And Ted, look, I don't deny that, but look, human beings create their own reality, okay? To the largest extent, human beings create their own reality. And conditioning plays a tremendous role in the way that women are. Now, there are some women, obviously, psychopaths and sociopaths. So we can go from one extreme to the other. But looking at it from a bell curve vantage point, we most of us want to fall in the middle range to the right side, being positive. But this is the thing. Playing games doesn't allay or address her fears. I don't deny that women shouldn't, I mean, don't have the concerns that you say. But I'm also giving some solutions on the order of her getting counsel. And the other one is, especially relationship counseling, and the other is to have real adult conversation as opposed to the game. See, the time she's wasting and having a man chasing her, she still has those unrealistic thoughts and those thoughts that take away from her personage, from her being a person and present for the man and for her relationship. That should be obligatory on her part. All right. So when she's playing a game, she's not addressing her primary concern. It's like going out to play when one should be inside studying. I'm just using that as an analogy because that's what my parents used to force upon me or enforce upon me, which was a good thing because I would have played a certain point more than I should have to the exclusion of getting my homework done. So I'm just simply saying women have homework to do, and it's not satisfied or properly addressed by the game that she insists upon.
Right, right. And that now you're talking about effective communication skills, right? So, and I've said on several shows that every little girl should be trained in conflict resolution, because the real punchline to conflict resolution is the conflict almost never has anything to do with the other person. It's the conflict you're experiencing with yourself. So in what you're saying, if a woman is playing a game, she's down in conflict with herself. She may have met a guy that she likes, except she has some fears or she's not sure about certain things. So instead of being able to effectively communicate or negotiate the situation, she plays a game which is now in conflict with her best interest in the outcome. The outcome she may want is love and affection from the guy, but she's playing games to see if that's really what he's presenting. And now the whole thing is a game, and love and affection has been thrown out the window, and there's this excitement of cat and mouse and all the games, and the true intention gets lost. So now you have unproductive behavior.
Exactly. Dr. John Gray, in his book, Women Are from Mars, Men Are from Venus, talked about how women sabotage their relationships. Now, I don't think he used the word sabotage, but I'm using that word sabotage because that's the synonymous essence of what he was pointing out. And women will do that. And women need to be encouraged and exposed to more healthier ways of thinking. Like, women will create scenarios to where they, like you say, all this additional thinking that they do. And they'll actually destroy their relationship, which is a good relationship. It's sort of like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They will often feel that they are undeserving of a healthy relationship. And then they go handily about destroying it. So I think that, you know, I've told women in no uncertain terms, F your feelings. tell me what you think, not what you feel, what you think. See, thinking requires a different modality from feeling. Feelings come from who knows the hell where, all right? But to think is a totally different process. So I encourage women to think more than they feel, especially when it comes to their relationships. And a lot of women learn to overcome, if you want to say it's a natural proclivity to overthink things and to destroy their own relationships, a lot of women overcome that with counseling, but they have to be, first of all, made cognizant of it, and right. they have to want to. It's a volitional thing. They have to have the will to do it once they understand what they're doing. And see, that's another problem, Ted, is most often we just lie to women. We generally lie to women as a society. I'll share with you sometimes some of the results of that, but mainly much of the stuff that women do is the result of our society just keeping our women stupid, not explaining to them how things work and how things should work, all right? And so if we would talk to them about, okay, you feel this way. Okay, so what? But maybe you shouldn't – let me give you a quick example. A quick example is a woman, she had a relationship – she cheated on her husband, right? She cheated on her husband. And it was a mistake. She shouldn't have done it. She did it. It was a one-time thing. It was over. All right. But you know what she did? She told him. Now, my position is, and I think most intelligent people will agree with this, intelligent slash practical. It was a one-time mistake. You're not going to do it anymore. Die with that burden. Don't pass it on to the man, because if you tell him, now he's got to act upon it. He's got to do something if you tell him. Now, I think what happens actually, this happens several times to my knowledge, and I'm sure even more than that. They ended up getting a divorce. But I would say if you do something, if a woman does something like that, don't tell your partner. Get counseling, whatever you need to do, but keep that shit to yourself. Don't burden your husband, and if you have a family, you're going to wreck your family if you tell. So don't tell. Just deal with it.
Isn't that plain the game though, Richard?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Isn't that playing the game, though? Cheating and lying?
No, not at all. See, now look here. Okay, explain what you mean, and then I want to respond to it. Go ahead.
Well, I believe earlier you were saying, or one of the people were saying, but I think it was you, were saying that playing the game is cheating and lying, and it leads to no good. So obviously she had a guilty conscience, and, you know, she told her husband. Now, from a practicality point of view, I agree with you. Most, you know, you probably wouldn't want to tell your spouse, but playing the devil's advocate, because I am an attorney and we have to do that, you know, you're saying that she should cheat and lie. So she cheated and then she lied about it. So what I'm saying is you're condoning playing the game of which you're so against.
Right. Well, I have to be your huckleberry, and I really appreciate that, by the way. That's an excellent comeback. And this is the way I would respond to that. Look, we live in a messy world, all right? Now, what we were talking about initially did not involve commitment, certainly marital commitment, and family commitment. The stakes are much higher here. And also, we need to keep in the forefront of our minds, it was a one-time event, and it wasn't going to happen again. So it was moot.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
No, I got you. But what I'm saying here is, let me just finish. Alex, right?
It's just the same thing is what I'm saying.
Alex,
so
it's Alex, right?
There's different degrees of the game, and, you know, I agree.
No, this is Alex. That's Keith.
keep her mouth shut.
Oh, that's who? That's Pete?
Right.
Okay, but Pete, this is the point you have to – look, this is what you have to do. See, there's a thing called maturity that kind of is the overarching issue here. Now, obviously she did tell her husband. Because we have the full picture here. Let's go ahead and bring it up on screen, okay? We have the full picture here. She did tell the truth about a mistake that she made wherein she cheated and she lied. And what did that do? They ended up getting a divorce. This is where she had a family. She had a husband. She had children. Let me just finish the point, and then you can dissect it as you choose. All right. So my position is, in this case, because the damage had already been done, she had repented. She wasn't going to do it again. But during the foolish, I would say, sophomoric thing of unburdening herself by telling her husband, destroyed her home, okay? And I'm saying that it would have been the better part of valor and practicality to keep her home intact, all right?
And not just from some momentary release of her own.
And to keep this to herself, she wasn't going to do it again, and to save her family. That is the larger issue. Now, do you agree or disagree with that?
I said from the onset that it was probably not the smartest thing to do, but again, you know, she was still, you know, it's still playing the game. So what I'm saying is, there's different degrees of playing the game. Like
exactly.
Earlier,
so that, but look, but that's where maturity comes in. And you're Pete, right? I'm sorry, I call you Alex. My apologies.
No, my name.
You're Pete, right?
Keith with a K. Keith. K-E-I-T-H.
Oh, Keith. Yeah, nice to meet you. Yeah. So Keith, this is where you know, and it's so important. I think it's more important for us men to get together and communicate along these lines so we have at least a clear picture of what is. Because when we mix women in with it, I think that creates a tremendous area of confusion. Not that anything would be wrong with women coming in, but I do think men, we need to have a conversation amongst ourselves. And so I was using the more mature approach in that situation, which
but
I think you understand.
I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. So,
right. No. I got you. But let me just say, that's the exception that proves the rule. Okay.
So I'm going to just do a little dissection. Now, understand. I'm a full-time attorney. I have my own law firm for almost 21 years. I'm very good at what I do, and I look at both sides of the coin. And
what kind of law do you practice?
Argument, okay? But what I'm saying is,
what kind of law do you practice?
I practice personal injury, and I did criminal defense, immigration, and family law in my first 4 years. Also, always done personal injury, but I've only done personal injury exclusively for almost 17 years. So I have a varied
background. Let me ask you, is family law the worst law to practice?
In my opinion, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
In my opinion. Because it's never ending, and no one's ever happy, and they blame you. Now, but and again, I'm just doing this as, you know, so you say that the woman isn't going to do it again, but now I'm playing the devil's advocate, and
she said she wasn't going to do it again.
So she says she's not going to do it again. Now, if she doesn't tell her husband, maybe she is going to do it again because she got away with it.
Exactly. I think you're over-guessing now, Keith, and I'm going to have to give you some pushback. Look.
Possible. I'm saying.
Okay, look, anything is, well, a lot of things are possible, but let's just go with what we have, okay?
Well,
sometimes we have to go with what we have. We have to go with what's
fairness,
on the table.
You don't know what was in
Keith, let me
Richard, here's the deal. She already promised that she wouldn't sleep with anyone else. She already made that promise by, you know, in marrying this guy. So she already showed a lack of integrity with her original.
That's exactly my point. So you can't get into her.
Agreed. But then, which of us hasn't made a mistake?
No.
Where are you going with this?
I'm not saying we're all perfect. I'm not saying that. You gave us a scenario, and you said she's not going to do it again. But you don't know that because you know she doesn't know that.
But you don't know what you are assuming either, right?
That's right. I just said it's possible.
Wait, listen. I'm more of an optimist than a pessimist. Excluding being a fool, I'm not a fool. But look, the point I made to you, you gave a scenario. Let me just say this. Let's just go with she made a mistake. She wasn't going to do it again. That being in place, would it have been best for her not to tell her husband to preserve her family?
I already agreed on that point, but it's
okay. Well, that is the point.
That
is the point.
Okay.
And that's the advice. Say if this woman came to me, I were a marriage and family therapist, licensed and all that good stuff. Or a pastor, okay? And she came to me and poured out her soul. My advice to her would have been, right, go and sin no more, but you should not share this with your husband. You should do everything you can
to keep your commitment. Hold on.
But don't destroy your home by telling your husband. Because once you tell him, now things are really out of your control. That's all I'm saying.
Richard, you're getting off the rails because 15 minutes ago I said I agreed that it was more practical for her not to open up her mouth. But this
right.
is the scenario she gave, but you don't know what is in the woman's mind. And like Ted said, she already cheated. She already crevalled. She was already untrustworthy. So what I'm saying is you can't assume what she's going to do or not going to do. Now, I agreed, and I think everybody would agree, then from a practicality point of view, it's the better, you know, the better good not to tell her husband. But my point is you don't know what's going to happen down the road because that's how, you know, people start having affairs or have multiple affairs. I mean,
right. So what's your point? I'm trying to see where you are going with this, Keith.
My point is,
you said that she's
better off playing the game of which you said was people shouldn't play the game. I said there's different degrees of playing the game, and you said that right. And then in my humble opinion, you were getting – you know, taking it very personally that I was challenging.
Oh, no, I'm not taking it personal. But, Keith, you would say this. Context means a lot, right?
Right, but you're creating your own context as it goes along. You're telling a
story. No, I'm not. I'm not creating a context because the context was she did cheat. She did inform her husband. She did destroy her family.
But I don't need repeating, but you don't know what's in her mind. So whether this was a true story or something you made
up, but neither do you.
Know what was in her mind. That's my point. And I said it's possible. And that's what you're not understanding.
Look here.
We can look at the possible.
You're
the only one in the world that has opinions that is intelligent. Let me just say this.
We can talk about possibilities and we can talk about probabilities. And I'm saying that when she took it out of her hands and delivered it into her husband, that's where she commenced to destroy her family. That's all I'm saying. And see, the bottom line is this.
We already agreed on that.
The bottom line is this. Are we as men mature enough to give solid, practical counsel.
Well, Richard, here's the fact that we do know. Wait, hold on. Here's the fact that we do know. This woman will lie. She will promise one thing and then just renege on it. We have proof for that.
Bingo.
And you have no proof that she won't. Everything you said proved that she's a liar.
Well, she admitted that she was a liar and a cheater.
Okay.
But she repented.
No. Listen.
So all I said was that it's possible she could cheat again. Possible.
Right. And that's true. I'm not denying that.
Possible.
But look here. What I'm saying is a lot of people. Let me just get this out, Keith.
Person that it's possible she could keep cheating?
Keith, let me look. Yes, I admit that it's possible, but I also heard her statement,
and you know that
in law, when a person agrees to tell the truth and they tell the truth, unless we find some contravening information.
We're not in court, and that's not
okay,
in law.
Okay, you're interrupting me, Keith.
A jury can listen to stuff and decide it's true or it's not true. It has
Keith, let me say, you're being immature on this particular issue.
Okay,
and that's the reason is
sure,
look, attorneys serve a good purpose, but they don't serve all purposes.
The point is that
a lot of people are immature in the area of not knowing what and when to share. A lot of people have had the problem.
Is that not immature?
Wait.
A lot of people have had the problem of unnecessarily unburdening.
You're not answering the question.
Stop right there, Richard. Don't say anything. Stop, Richard. Keith, stop. Just stop. Both guys, stop. Stop. Richard, there's you cannot undo the fact that she is an unadulterated liar. There's no way around that. There's no way to prove she's not that, because your story proves that she is a dishonest person who completely lacks integrity. She will tell you she's going to do one thing and then just do whatever she wants to do. I think Keith is saying he gets what you are saying in terms of what's best for the family. But there's also people in the chats who feel like she destroyed the marriage as soon as she cheated. And I think this is where the problem is. There are a lot of guys who would prefer to have the choice to stay with the woman in the face of her infidelity. And so a lot of guys are concerned that if she keeps it to herself, well, she lied once, will she lie again and again and again? You know, we know she lied one time in a row. There's proof for that. And there's no way you can unprove that. She's a dishonest person. So, and I don't think Keith is disagreeing with you. I don't think he's trying to put you on a stand or be an attorney. He's giving another perspective and understanding what you're saying and not disagreeing. So I think you guys may be...
Right, and let me say this, Ted. I got his point, but look here. I'm making a larger point. And the larger point is this. A lot of people think that unburdening themselves from guilt that they feel for having done something wrong is the greater good. And I'm just simply saying not always. Sometimes preservation of the family is of the greater good. And that's the point I'm making. Because a number of people find themselves at this particular crossroads. Okay, let's just wipe that woman off. She's a bitch. She's
all
a liar.
All I said is,
let me finish, please. Okay, say this woman that we just used, let's call her Susan, okay? Let's say Susan is everything Keith and you, Ted, say that she is. She's a liar. Fine. She's a cheater. But many people that this happens to are not going to continue to do it, but there's still the issue of should they unload on their unsuspecting spouse. My answer to that would be, in most cases, no. Let that burden be borne by the one who deserves it. Let them get counseling, whatever, and let them preserve the family. That's my point.
Wait, Richard, quick question. If she does it a second time, like, so the question is, when should she tell her husband? If she does it a second time, or should she wait till the third, or is it the fourth when she says, wow, I can't stop? So, like, at what point does she tell him?
Well, look, this is the thing. She said she had done it once and she wasn't in this. Okay, let's go back to Susan, as it were. Or let's call her Kate. Forget Susan. Let's call her Kate. Kate said she wasn't going to do it again. I understand what you guys are saying. She is a liar and a cheater. Yes.
No.
All right.
I'm asking you a specific question. At what point should she tell him? What if she does it a second? Should she tell him then, or should she wait until the third time? Or the 10th.
Okay. But I think it's a moot point because she says she wasn't going to do it again. Now, can we agree that she may honor that?
No, but that's a moot point, too, because she's already a liar. So
she should admit to it, Ted, when the investigator come out and tell the truth.
Hold on, Kendrick. Richard, at what point should she tell him?
After she had said she wasn't going to do it again, she did it again, I would say she should tell.
Okay, good. I got it. That's the answer to my question. Thank you.
Okay, now I have one more question for you, Richard. Why is someone immature because they disagree with every single point you make?
But I didn't say that. That's something that you're making up.
No, I didn't. You said you're immature if you don't agree with such and such a premise.
Well, I talked about immaturity and maturity in terms of uttering decisions. And I only brought that particular example in to really address what Ted was saying earlier about women having all these thoughts, and I'm going to say they're thoughts of confusion and thoughts of destruction. And I also pointed out that Dr. John Gray mentioned this in his book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, because a woman can allow all the bad stuff in her life to unthaw and then flow in a context to where it's totally unnecessary. Like, she could be with man number three, and everything that happened to her with man number one and two is equally as visible, equally as real. And she dumps all of the problems that she had with man number one and two upon man number three. That's inappropriate, and it's out of context. But women, not knowing any better, will often do that. And I'm just saying they need an advocate to help them to make more mature decisions. Would you concur with that?
Well, what I would say is that no matter what the person who wrote that book says, that's his opinion based on studies, and maybe there's other people that disagree with that. So, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody, any one person who, I don't care how many degrees they have, okay, is the be-all to end-all. That's their opinion.
Yeah, but see, you didn't answer. I don't know if you're being disingenuous or if you just didn't hear me. I ask you a very specific question. If a woman is in a relationship with man number three, but all the problems she had with man number one and man number two are equally available and valid to her, and she brings those problems into her relationship with man number three, is that or is that not appropriate?
That may not be appropriate. But
it may not be appropriate?
And I'm asking you a very simple question. And I got to be honest with you, Richard. I find you seem to...
Okay, wait a minute. Before you go on and talk about me, I'm going to stick with the issue.
No, I am.
I would say that's inappropriate for her to...
of people who have other opinions.
Hold on. That's the reason we have the war of opinions. I would say that it's inappropriate for this woman to bring her problems of man number one and two to wreck her relationship with man number three.
And I would say she would need someone who has... I agree with that. What I'm saying is that I...
Wait a minute, I didn't hear you clearly. What did you say?
if someone has a different opinion than you or doesn't agree 100% in 5 seconds with what you say. You're very
defensive.
Okay, but
did you agree with my scenario that bringing her problems of previous relationships to her current relationship is inappropriate?
It may be, but that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about your condescending.
But that is what I'm talking about, and that's all I'm talking about.
All right.
Well, but you see, the thing is, you want everyone to listen to what you say, but you don't listen to what other people are saying. So
what did I not listen to that you said?
But you don't want to listen to other people's opinions.
What am I not listening to that you said?
Richard.
You're very condescending and it's very rude.
Well, I think that's just an attitude that you're taking, and that's your opinion.
But I'm not the only one who would feel that way, and maybe that's why, you know.
Okay, I don't care if you're not the only one. You're the only one I'm talking to.
This is a talk show. You've been talking more than anybody. And
I think you're getting too much in your feelings.
You're very condescending.
I think you're getting too much in your feelings, and you may be what you are accusing me of.
Hey, Richard, stop right there. Keith, stop right there. Just stop. Both stop right there. So, Keith, I have a request. What is it you want? I got it. So you're saying that Richard doesn't always listen to what someone's saying, and he wants people to agree, and when they don't agree with them, he gives pushback. So my request for you, Keith, right now, Richard, I need you to take a time out on this. I need you to give Keith, I'm asking you to give Richard a situation that you want him to respond to. And we got the part about he can be condescending and he doesn't always want to hear. So I think he's got that.
I'm not going to make up a scenario to test what I think because
that's what I feel.
I deal with people all the time. I deal with condescending insurance adjusters, condescending doctors, condescending people of all, and that's just my opinion. So, you know, if you want to have a talk with men about men stuff, then, you know, you should let those people talk. And just because they don't agree with you 100% in 5 seconds, everything you say doesn't mean that you should talk down to them.
Okay. All right. Stop right there. Stop. Richard, I have to say this. You do cut people off a lot. And even when I say, hey, man, that let the guy finish, you'll keep going. So I have a request for you, Richard, is that you let people get their full thought off. And I know that sometimes as guys, we get a little bit passionate about the discussion, and, you know, we can really go at it with one another. But I want everyone to get their thoughts out. So, Richard, I'm saying that you do often cut people off. Not a lot, but you do, and sometimes you don't stop, and the conversation gets muddied. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that, Richard, correct?
Well, if I can hear them, I think I pause quite a bit. If I hear the person, I do stop. But do you acknowledge that other people don't stop either?
Sometimes, but you've got the greatest track. You're a freight train, man. That you can be a freight train. Like, you won't stop. You just keep going. Like, the brakes don't work sometimes. You don't do it always, and there are times when you stop and you give space for people to speak. But today's not the first time you've done that. And I love your comments. This is not a complaint. I just want the conversation to, I want people to have an opportunity to speak. And we still have Alex, and there's Kendrick there. We're getting some good comments on the side. So there are a lot of guys who are not so happy about the woman lying about not admitting to cheating. Just giving that to you as a, you know, I'm getting in a chat. So there are a few guys who would not be happy about that scenario of the wife not saying anything. And I'm not getting into whether it's right or wrong. Keith both you and Keith are really smart guys, and I think everyone gets value out of hearing both of you and what you're saying. When you both speak at the same time, we miss the opportunity to hear your brilliance.
I mean, Ted, it's common sense, though, man. It's just things. I don't know if I'm even allowed to even use you for an example, but you had to came in here to found another dude and been messing with your mom, and now you faced with this dilemma in your head. Should you tell your dad or should you keep your mouth shut? That's basically what I heard Richard and his man was talking about. If I may say, but your dad didn't know nothing about it. So whether to keep your mouth shut or say something.
You kind of changed the scenario with that, but yeah, I
but you understand where I was coming from. I wanted to use you because, you know, I use you for a simplistic part of it.
Right. I got you. Yep. These are tough situations, and it's still good for us to talk about them because it absolutely is good to hear different perspectives. That's absolutely healthy for everyone listening. And this is being recorded, so people actually listen to these afterwards. So I just like when people can actually hear the value, especially when you have so many smart people giving perspectives and feedback. So I just want everyone to hear it. Alex, are you still there? Okay, he's either on mute or he's with his spending time with his girlfriend. We've been doing this for a bit. The topic was, do men really need game to get the girl? And so part of where I was coming from, and I know there are different perspectives, is that and I wasn't even necessarily getting into lying and cheating. It was more about being your authentic self, and when you're not, that's difficult to sustain it, and this is how relationships fall apart. And as Richard was saying, we protect women from so many things. We may not tell them, hey, you know, your conversation is not as great as you think, or you're not as fun as you are. You need to lose 5 pounds, right? Those, we protect women from feeling bad, even though a guy will have sex and he'll pump and dump her. But at